Talk Show.
Recorded live.
Good evening, everyone. This is Marcus Allen. It is Monday night on March 29th, 2010. And yes, I still have sickness. This time it's a sore throat, although I can hear now. That's a good thing. And tonight I am flying solo. It's just me. Unless anyone listening to this would like to call in, that'd be great. And tonight's topic is controlled opposition. And I'm bringing this up only kind of spur of the moment because I've been getting a lot of emails lately, and I've been wondering why that's the case, and I'll tell you why I'm pretty sure the reason is. Getting emails saying, hey, I saw your controlled opposition list at truthin7minutes.com. That's the website that I started September 11, 2008. That's the number 7, by the way. And I always suspected that blah, blah, blah was controlled opposition. But I got to your webpage, and all I saw was that person's name. Can you tell me why you think blah, blah, blah is controlled opposition? And unfortunately, more than a year ago, I kind of gave up on that page because every time I would display a new name on that list, it all fit the pattern. And I'm going to show you how to figure this sort of thing out on your own. Not only will it save yourself time, it'll save myself time from answering your emails about this because it does get repetitive, especially for those new into finding out about truth. And when you find this stuff out on your own, it kind of empowers you, and then you really start to get it. And I really started to get it in 2008. 2008 was a banner year for me. I mean, out of all the 43 years of living, I can easily say that I learned the most about truth in 2008. And it was because of this guy. In fact, let me turn up the volume here. It's not a coincidence that I started this broadcast at 8:07. That's because when this guy comes on, let me see if I can put up the volume here.
A team who worked, they were hired by Fox News, a bunch of journalists to do documentaries. They did one, and they didn't allow it to be published, so these journalists took Fox to court.
And if you don't recognize that voice, that is the lull you to sleep Alan Watt, who is, oddly enough, the ultimate gatekeeper when it comes to being controlled opposition. With that said, if it wasn't for Alan Watt, I wouldn't know nearly what I know today. I'm sure it would have taken me 5 to 10 extra years to figure it out. And that's what's amazing about controlled opposition. They give us nuggets of truth that we've never heard before, or we've heard but have never confirmed before. And then we latch on to them kind of like heroes, cult heroes, or superstars. And then typically 6 to 12 months down the road, they spin us off into la-la land, and probably 99% of the people will take the spin, and that is their job, because that is what controlled opposition is. For those who know about truth, we know that the elite control us using their tools, that's just the best word I can think of, people who will do the dirty work for them. And as Lenin said it best, if you want to control the opposition, you rule over them. You lead them. So that's what happens. You get the Alex Joneses and the Alan Watts and the Lou Dobbs and the Keith Olbermans and the Jon Stewarts and the Stephen Colberts who seem to be screaming in outrage the obvious. And they seem to be the lone people willing to do it, the risk takers, the whistleblowers. But the reason why they're the only ones willing to seemingly take the risk is because they're allowed to take that risk. They are the handful of people who scream at the top of their lungs and are able to get away with it. There's no way you're going to find a real person like me or like you being able to be given airwave time for any more than a couple of seconds to talk about the Breakspear family or the Medicini family and the other five or so families at the top. So that's what you do. If you want to control the opposition, control the masses, you lead them. And that's how controlled opposition works. So anyway, getting back to the email, he was asking me about Craig Oxley. I used to be, when I was young and dumb, Craig Oxley's biggest poster at his forum. Poster meaning I would post opinions, make replies, enter facts. Sometimes they weren't facts. I thought they were facts. Onto this message board software. And I was his top poster. And then I found out about 9/11, excuse me, and TV manipulation fakery through the video called September Clues. And I asked Craig Oxley to take a look at September Clues. And for the first time ever, knowing him for as long as I did, he went absolutely ballistic on me. Basically saying, if you don't think planes were used on 9/11, then you don't deserve to be here. I thought that was very interesting. And I was subsequently banned soon after that. So in my world, I call that controlled opposition. They're put into place, we latch onto them. And then when you bring up the really damaging stuff, they spin you off into la-la land or flat out ban you from participation. I was at the bank today with my wife. My wife is home for spring break. She's a social engineer. I mean, she's a school teacher. And it pays well. That's the only reason I like it. And so we go to the bank. And for the first time, I was actually treated like a rock star because I've always told the bank manager and a few others stuff about what I know, and they seem semi-interested. You could tell at some points they're like, looks like Mark is really going off the deep end here. But two things happened today. Number one, I think people were stunned how good-looking my wife is and how she's normal because, as you would imagine, anyone who's as nutty and wacky as I am, I say that in hand quotes wrapped around that, must have a really loony type of spouse. But no, my wife is good looking and quiet, complete opposite of me, and wears, you know, teacher outfits, very conservative and a sweater, and has a pretty smile. So I'm standing in the line at the bank, and the branch manager comes up to my wife, and she looks at me. She goes, and who was this? And she knew it was my wife, but didn't want to assume that because my son was being held by my wife. Normally, I'm holding my son when I go to the bank. And it was like they met a rock star, the wife of a rock star, because they knew. I always told them I was married, but they'd never seen her before. So they got to see her for the first time. But the real big reason is because, and she said that, she goes, I got to tell you, your husband is very interesting. That's the word she said, very interesting, because I have so many of my customers telling me the same things that Mark's been saying all these years now, and I'm sort of checking into it, and it seems to be true, which is quite encouraging. But then she sucked the air right out of my stomach. She goes, yeah, and I've been watching Jesse Ventura's conspiracy show. And I'm like, oh, grab a drink of water here. She's like, why? What's wrong? He says everything that you say. And I say, no, he doesn't. I've never seen the show, but I've seen notes and YouTube videos of it. And he does what controlled opposition does, is he gives us a split hair's worth of maybe truth, and then spins us off into la-la land. Now, Jesse Ventura is a very interesting character, and I don't mean to say that in any other way. He is a character in more than one ways. If you were to look at the top four ways to figure out if someone is controlled opposition or has the potential for being that, it's usually one of four things. They're either ex or current military, in the culture creation business, or in politics. Now let me read to you the first sentence in Jesse Ventura's Wikipedia biography. Ready? James George Janos, born July 15, 1951, best known as Jesse the Body Ventura, is an American politician, former governor of Minnesota, so there's your politics, retired professional wrestler, so there's your culture creation industry, and color commentator, that's someone who does play-by-play, is the secondary person who does play-by-play in wrestling or football. Navy UDT, that's Navy SEALs basically, so there's your military. Actor, there's your culture creation industry. And former radio and television talk show host, there's your culture creation again, which spawns off into the media. That's a big one. So you've got military, culture creation industry, the media, politics, and the fifth one actually is anyone who is ex-CIA, ex-FBI. That's a joke. You're never ex. They tell you that they're ex so that they seem to have street credibility to you, that they somehow have the inside scoop on what's going on. So I start shaking my head with the branch manager, and I said, do you know what the name of his show is? She goes, no. I said, it's called Conspiracy Theory with Jesse Ventura. That's like, why not just name it Kook Loon Nutbag with Jesse the Body Ventura? I mean, that would be equally as offensive to me as someone seeking truth than, Conspiracy Theory with Jesse Ventura. Just amazing. So then my wife chimed in. She goes, well, isn't it a start? Isn't it a good start? And I remember there's a Yiddish saying that a half-truth is no better than a whole lie. Because that's what you get. Yeah, I mean, I guess it is a start. People will start to look into this, but that's what the elite want. They want us to go down the rabbit hole that they choose and that they chose for us well in advance. So there it is. That's how you can tell or have a good idea if someone is controlled opposition. Military, culture creation industry, media, politics, or X something or another. Now, I'm restarting my talk show here. Okay, so back to the list. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this audio that I'm making right now and I'm going to put it on my controlled opposition page. In fact, let me post that into the chat. If you're listening live right now, I'm restarting the chat so I can see you. Slowly starting up. While I'm waiting, if you have any questions or you want to talk about anything else, you're free to do so. Just dial in that number that's at the bottom of the interactive chat screen. Then it's going to ask for your call ID number. Put that number in, followed by the pound sign. And finally, you want to put in the PIN number. That lets me know who you are. Follow that by the pound sign, and then hit star next to the number 0, and then 8, star 8, to let me know that you're interested in having a little dialogue with good old Uncle Mark. Well, that brings back memories. No one today calls me Uncle Mark, even though I have people in my family who that title would be appropriate with. The only person to call me Uncle Mark was my old roommate, Dave Glavis. Very interesting guy who used to call me Uncle Mark when I was in college. Interesting because we're slowly finding out that just about every single victim, and I say that in quotes, on 9/11 was actually a made-up simulation. If you know what simulacra is, we talked about that last week, you'll find it's the same thing that happened on 9/11. What's interesting about Dave is he got divorced and got married to Rachel White, who is the supposed sister of, I forget his first name, of a what person named White who supposedly died on 9/11. Yet, okay, there's my chat. Let me put the controlled opposition page. There we go. Okay, there's my controlled opposition page. And by the way, I'll have all these links that I talk about on the controlled opposition page. So if you're listening to a replay of this, it'll be underneath the replay itself. So anyway, back to Mrs. White. And what's interesting is this White person isn't even remembered at Cantor Fitzgerald's memorial page. Just amazing how everything in life is an agenda or faked. Simply amazing. Anyhow, back to my notes here. There is a pretty good page called the Masonic Media Agents, which shows another list of controlled opposition. And I'll post that into the chat also. So what I'll do is maybe I can give some examples of how to spot, or at least how I spot controlled opposition. Now, before I get into that, let me just say this. I've always done this truthin7minutes.com website to basically chronicle through audio my tour of truth through my life so that my two sons can see what I went through. So, you know, right now my 8-year-old isn't interested in this sort of thing. And, of course, my 3-year-old barely talks. But maybe 20 years from now they'll dig into this and see how it's going. So I'm not doing this to prove in a court of law that someone is guilty of being controlled opposition. First of all, the people who created the courts of law are the same people that rule over us from behind the scenes. So even if I had an endless parade of evidence showing, I guess I'm saying the show is sounding on fire. I don't know if that's this person's being sarcastic or not. Actually, my throat is on fire from this cold. So there's no – even if you had an endless parade of evidence, there's no way that they're going to convict themselves. That's sort of like a cop writing himself a speeding ticket. Okay, thank you, Guest Sex. Appreciate that. Great form, Mark. Thank you. I'm glad you didn't say great work because that's a Masonic thing. And me is no Mason. Let me say that ahead of time, too. I had Brian – he told me sort of jokingly that I would be the perfect controlled opposition person out there. And I was just stunned by that because let me give you my background. If it's sounding like a broken record, I apologize. I'm 43 years old. Here's my phone number. I'll post it into the chat. I don't pick up the phone, but it goes right to my voicemail. And the only reason I don't pick up the phone is because I would never get any work done. And the work that I do is I'm a blogger. I have 3 blogs, and I have a weekly talk show, talkcast just like this called Stump Marcus. And I'm seeing what Kevin's saying. I would be a great, and you would, Mark, yep. If you go to my website, it says I will not take your donation. In fact, I've actually refunded a donation. I did that last year. Wasn't much, but I don't take donations. I don't sell stuff to scare you, and I could. And I could make a very, very good living doing that. I knew Jackie Petru admitted to me on a phone call that she made $200,000 begging for money in 1 year. I am absolutely positive that Alan Watt makes a lot more than $200,000 a year with his constant begging and donation requests. But I don't do that. One thing you'll find with controlled opposition is they typically have no family. There must be a reason for that. There must be a reason the military hires people like that. So they don't have any family. They typically don't have children. The exception to the rule would be Christy from Truth Brigade Radio, who's a single mom of two. I've actually seen both of her daughters, so I know that they're real. Alex Jones apparently has children, and another well-known controlled opposition leader has them too. But the vast majority of these characters don't have family. I have two sons. Kevin wants to meet me face-to-face. Cool. Anytime. Swing on down. Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. So there it is. I have my phone number. People know I live in Lancaster County. I'll meet you at Sam's in Quarryville if you want to get some pizza. So that's, you know, controlled opposition won't do that. You know, try contacting Alex Jones or Alan Watt or Lou Dobbs or the names go on and on. There's a guy you might have heard of named Eric John Phelps, who actually lives about 20 minutes away from me. Good luck trying to get and arrange a meeting with these guys. It ain't going to happen. Not going to happen. So so Brian said, he goes, you do all the opposite things of controlled opposition, which would make you the perfect controlled opposition. And I just don't get it. I mean, then who can you trust, basically, is what it comes down to. I have no one in my family that's military that I've spoken to in at least 25 years. I say that because my cousin Greg, who used to live in Florida, moved to Israel, and there's a two-year requirement, I understand, for both guys and girls to be in the Israeli military. So he's technically, or was, in the military. So the only link I have to the military is through Greg, which is in a foreign country, and I don't even talk to Greg. He isn't exactly my cup of tea, let's just put it that way. But I don't know of anyone else in my family, even my the older folk in my family, my parents, my uncles, actually, that's not true. My Uncle Bruce, I think, was in the military, now that I think about it. I don't speak to him. My father skipped going into the military. His lottery number wasn't picked. So trying to think. And I mentioned the Jesuits a lot. I didn't even know what a Jesuit was a year and a half ago. The Jesuit, or a Jebby, that's what they call themselves. That's their little nickname, is the Society of Jesus, which is the military arm of the Catholic Church. And I don't have anyone that I know of who's a Jesuit in my family. I was born a Jew. I'm the only one in my family who has renounced being Jewish. I stopped with that when I was bar mitzvahed. I was bar mitzvahed at 13, took the money, bought a Volkswagen Rabbit, and then said no more to Judaism. So for many reasons, just everyone in my family doesn't talk to me. I am a nuclear reactor when it comes to talking about stuff. Let me see if the chat's still working here. Yep. So, I mean, I literally have none of what controlled opposition typically has. Again, it's usually links to the military, Jesuits, and on and on. So let's do this. Let's take – just looking at some of my notes that I came up with real quick. Yeah, let's take a look at the typical controlled opposition truth leader. The first one that comes to mind for me is the one and only Alex Jones. Let me get my notes on him. Guess six said not celebrating Passover. No, that started tonight, didn't it? I'm not celebrating Passover. Neither does anyone in my family, by the way. They pretend to. you know, they put on the public face. It's kind of like on my wife's side of things, I'm like, I'm married to Catholics or a Catholic. And they pretend to go to church and all that kind of stuff. But they're just there to see who's dressing the nicest and to socialize and see who died. And it's not for the reason you would think. Okay, so Alex Jones. Now, he's another one where people say, oh, yeah, he might not be 100% accurate, and yeah, he might be scaring us to death, but at least he's getting people into the truth. And I just don't buy that. Because what happens is, with controlled opposition, they'll suck you in, and they'll do one of two things. They'll scare you to death, and Alex Jones is the best at that, or they'll distract you and tie you into knots trying to figure out what's really going on. Alex Jones does both. And here's another way to tell someone's telling you the truth. Man, I didn't think I was going to cough this much. I wouldn't have done it. They always say, they'll use NLP. NLP is neuro-linguistic programming. I'll give you an example. You can tell, like 99% of the time, if someone isn't telling you the truth by the position of their eyes. For example, if you're standing in front of your spouse and you're like, hey, honey, do you remember what you did exactly 7 days ago at 8:33 in the evening last Monday? Now, no one's going to, unless she had an affair, which is entirely possible with the breakup of the family. We should do a whole broadcast about that. And she'll look up to her left, which would be your right. And when 99% of the people do that, that means they were trying to recall the past. Now, if someone is trying to create the past, they typically look down to the right, which would be your left, or look up to the right, to your left. So what you want to do is you want to throw some baseline questions at them, like, yeah, do you remember what, or do you remember last Christmas, what was your best gift from the entire Christmas? And they'll, you know, most people look up and like, well, I really like the socks that you gave me. You see if they're lying about that. But you get the idea. You want to throw some baseline questions at them. And then you hit them with some more hard stuff. And you also look at the amount of time it takes for them to kick in with the answer. And if they start looking down, looking to the right, again, it's not 100% accurate, but it sure is interesting to see what's going on. I use that all the time, and I use other NLP techniques to really dig deep into that if someone's not telling me the truth. By the way, I'm watching the board as I'm talking. Guest Zero says, you must be great at parties. I don't go to parties. People don't like what I have to say. It's interesting, online, I asked people at my business site to give me some feedback about how I'm doing, and someone said that it would be great to go have a beer with me. It would be really interesting, and I would think that too. I mean, let's be honest, I talk about a lot of different stuff. But if I went to a neighborhood party, oh, they would kick me out in a heartbeat. In fact, I was just telling my wife, I said, see that woman over there? And she's like, yeah. I said, that's the one that you're like, who's that woman talking to you? Because I would take my son to the park, and as everyone is at home, you know, watching TV or playing Wii Nintendo games, you know, I don't do that. I go to the park and have fun with my son. And she kind of felt the same way, and this woman would bring her daughters and her son. And we would talk all the time. We would talk about this kind of stuff, but I would go very slow about it. And now that woman doesn't even talk to me. Just all of a sudden, one day, she stopped talking to me. And we went walking, and she comes in my neighborhood and walks. She walked right in front of me and had that snooty, don't look at me look, and walked right by me. I couldn't believe it. So, no, I'm not going to be invited to any party around here anytime soon. So where was I? I was talking about Alex Jones and it's good to see. lucky that we have a lot of people on board here. I didn't really promote this broadcast. Let me go back and see something real quick here. There we go. And Kevin, if you want to call in, just hit star 8. So Alex Jones. And guess who just said I did. I don't know what that means. So if you want to call in, just call in and we can talk this stuff out. I'm free for the next couple hours. So that's what Alex Jones does is he – oh, you promoted the call. Great. Fantastic. Appreciate it. So Alex Jones claims that – okay, guess who is going to call in soon. Great. Okay, great. Tama Uno, which is Naresh. Alex Jones has obviously been named the rock star of truth for a long time now because everyone is directed to an Alex Jones website. If you do a search on Google for anything from FEMA camps, my wife is asking me what a FEMA camp is. She obviously doesn't partake in this truth stuff, which is really good in some ways. FEMA camp is a quote-unquote concentration camp that we're all going to be locked into once martial law comes. And of course, they've been telling us that martial law is days away. They've been telling that to my grandfather, and it hasn't happened. So FEMA camps, you type in Bohemian Grove, you type in Prison Planet, you type in all the buzzwords that the alternative media likes to spout that's happening, you know, war in Iran that's coming, all that kind of stuff. And you'll find out that out of the top 10 results, Alex Jones's website will get like 2, 3, 4 mentions out of the top 10 results. Now, when it comes to controlled opposition, you have to ask yourself, would someone like Alex Jones, who claims, and he does give us some truth, that the people who rule over us also own the media, which, by the way, owns the satellites that Alex Jones is ranting over. Do you really think that they would allow him to go uninterrupted and rant on about how evil the people at the top are without interruption? So that's why I say anyone who is well known cannot be real. It's impossible. Absolutely impossible, because the people at the top can and probably do shut people off who are real. Isn't it interesting that Alex Jones, who cries the blues all the time, how he doesn't have money, doesn't have money, somehow came up with a $20,000 contest for whoever created the best poster about the naked body scan machines at the airport. And the only reason I heard about this is because I still listen to Alan Watt, who is the ultimate gatekeeper, ultimate controlled opposition. And I'll talk to you about that in a second, if my voice will let me. So he tells us that he doesn't have any money, doesn't have any money, doesn't have any money. Oh, but I have $20,000 for a stupid contest. I mean, you just have to kind of add this stuff up and you can see what's going on. But the big thing for me with Alex Jones is he's allowed to be on the air. I mean, he's on affiliated radio stations. This isn't some shortwave, underground, internet-only broadcast. This is a radio broadcast that is syndicated through Disney satellites to scare us to death. there's no way that they wouldn't cut him off if what he was saying wasn't authorized at the top. Here's another little ditty about Alex Jones. More than 2 years ago, Alex Jones led another front group of Alex Jones. It's called We Are Change. By the way, you don't have to let me go through. I'm dying here. If anyone wants to call in, I'd be happy to take the call. Alex Jones has a front company called We Are Change. They have many chapters throughout the country and the world. And 2.5 years ago, he got Luke Radowski, the head of We Are Change New York, along with Alex Jones with the bullhorn. You know, Alex Jones likes to bullhorn empty buildings, but this time he bullhorned Geraldo Rivera. Kevin, you're online. Just let me know if you want to – just hit star 8, and that'll let me know if you want to come through. And – or hit request to talk on the panel. There you go. All right, I'll just finish this up, and then I'll have you on. So anyway, 2.5 years ago, Fox News had the audacity and arrogance to do a live broadcast – on a stage outside their recording studio in New York City. And somehow Alex Jones and Luke Radowski got wind of this. They surrounded the stage and said 9/11 was an inside job. I was actually very inspired by this. Today I realize it was all fake. Let me rephrase that. I realized that it was an operation. And there were real people who were chanting, thinking that they were making a difference. But they're not. I'm losing credibility. How did I do that? And I guess Zero says I'm losing credibility. And subsequently, Alex Jones got arrested because he was using a bullhorn in a public space in New York City, and apparently you can't do that. Oh, I see. Guest 6 is Louis B. I thought Louis B. didn't like me. It's amazing how they all come here. They still come here even though they don't like me. So let me ask you a question. If you went to go protest someone and that person got you locked up in jail, would you be happy with that person and show up 3 times in a row months after the event? Let me repeat that. Alex Jones got arrested by Geraldo Rivera directly. And Alex Jones continued to be a guest on Geraldo Rivera's show 3 times in a row later that year. That's impossible. That's impossible. Let me bring on Kevin because I'm absolutely losing my voice. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, Mark. How you doing, man?
Sick as a dog, man. Help me out.
Wow. I hear everything you're saying. It's pretty I didn't know that Geraldo arrested Alex Jones, that's pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to give you some updates on the Truther Girls.
Okay. That'd be great.
They had a show tonight. They have a show Monday, Wednesday, Friday on, you know, American Freedom Radio.
Mm-hmm.
And tonight they had a man named, oh, geez, where'd it go? I just wrote it all down. He was... Wow. Okay, hold on.
I bet I find it faster.
Okay, I just switched the page. There you go. Ken Fernandez.
Okay.
Now,
never heard of him.
Neither did I. Her husband, Aaron, was going to have a debate with them on who is in the power here, you know,
mm-hmm.
who is they or who is he or who, whatever. And it seemed to me like they were going to go up against this man saying that the Vatican has a lot to do with it. Now, you have to, you know, listen to the show, whatever. This dude destroyed them because they had no clue what to say. Her husband, Aaron, is kind of laid back. So what he was trying to say didn't have any effect. And this dude seemed to be a complete defender of the Jesuits.
Mm-hmm.
Now, normally, you know, normally I'm going to say, you know, obviously we're in a different camp. And by the way, on the Rothschilds timelines, they have taken out the 1748 quote where Amschel Maurer, Bauer said, give me control of the nation's money, and I don't care who you put in power. I don't care who makes the law. That quote is gone
mm-hmm.
from all their timelines. Because I was going to say, look up this timeline. You know, I what I did was, after I seen them slaughtered for an hour, I called in like 30 minutes before the show ended. And I sat there for 30 minutes waiting for them to take my call. And they didn't do it.
Now, you were on, Aaron told me you were on The Truth or Girls. So was that before you were on or after?
I was on Monday the 22nd.
And when did you stay on the line for 30 minutes and then didn't take your call after?
Tonight.
Oh, tonight.
Tonight.
Yeah.
They just had this thing. They had this guy on, and he was telling them everything else, but I don't know. And they didn't really know how to defend it. You know, they were mentioning the Rockefellers. They were mentioning the Rothschilds, but they didn't know what to say, really. And so I was thinking, man, what is going on? And I tried to email them in the, you know, in the middle of it, and I told them a couple of things to say. And then after it was all over, I called in, and I thought, man, you know, I'm gonna go in there and defend, you know, what they didn't know how to do. And they just mumbled about what is that law thing, like the. You know, where you're a straw man and when you can take out your and write checks because you're basically bought and paid for since 1933.
Oh,
and they just like when we went bankrupt in 1933, you know, we were sold out
mm-hmm.
and we became basically collateral, you know,
right.
for the Bank of whatever,
mm-hmm.
the Fed, the Bank of England, basically. And this guy was defending England. He was defending Europe. And he was defending the Jesuits, and he was defending all the people that are really behind it. You know, so and so I was going to go in there and shed some kind of light. I wrote them an email. I said, man, I got guys that would come in here and crush this argument. And they never answered in any way, shape, or form to my email or my call.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote them an email, and I wrote them an email, and I titled it WTF! Exclamation point, question mark, exclamation point. Now, we all know that that means what the...
yep.
Right? And I don't want your kid to be hearing some stuff, so...
Sure, I appreciate
it. So I said, wow, I was on the line for 30 minutes on your show just now, and you totally ignored me. I know you take calls because, and the thing is, they had told me before they don't even bother taking the calls because nobody calls in or they don't look at it, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But so I said, I know you take calls because I listened to your show where you took not only the caller once, but he called in again and you took his call again. I wanted to defend you and Aaron, and you didn't even bother finding out who was on the line. Wow. So are you really going to come on my show Friday, which we've been talking back and forth a little bit about they're coming on my show?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you just, you know, effing with me?
Mm-hmm.
And I have no response yet.
And you probably won't.
And if I don't, well, then I guess I'll have to run with all the things I've been looking into, like her sidekick, Karen. They had this thing where win a date with Karen, Truth or Girl Karen, you know, and they had at one point her turn-ons. And guess what her first turn-on was?
Girls.
Alex Jones. If you noticed, I have it posted on my page. It's only 45 minutes long. You know, I'm as a guest caller on Truth of Girls.
Mm-hmm.
In there, I attempted a couple of times to ask them about Alex Jones, and they kind of blew it off.
Yeah, that's what Aaron was saying. He said that you were kind of ripped into them about Alex Jones, and that's right. How can we hear that interview? Where is that at?
That's on my page.
Tell us what your page is. I don't know what your page is.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me go to it and then throw you a link. It's on my What is Truth, my talk show. I downloaded it, cut out the commercials. And,
oh, I see. I see. And you just uploaded it to talk show.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. If you can get us that link, I would love to hear that.
Yeah, it's right there. And it should, there it is.
Okay. Okay, cool.
And so that's like 45 minutes long. The first 20 minutes, I think I was on an actual phone. So I don't like being on a phone because I don't like holding the phone to my ear. But then after that, you know. And, you know, I was kind of nervous because, you know, they're, you know, American Freedom Radio, and I know what American Freedom Radio is all about. And I'm wondering why and how did they get on American Freedom Radio?
Mm-hmm.
So, let's see. I have an actual clip taken from one of their videos, and this is how it went, if I'm allowed to play that.
Sure.
Okay, here it goes.
Hi. I haven't been doing a lot of vlogging because I've been really busy, but I've had a really amazing week. Actually, on Wednesday, I was on the radio show Deadline Live with Jack Blood, and that was really awesome. Jack is really cool. He's got a really great sense of humor, and he's a lot of fun, and he doesn't have the super doom and gloom kind of perspective on the New World Order. So, you know, I felt like we saw pretty eye to eye, and I had a really great time doing the show with him. And you should check out the website for Deadline Live. They've even got satire and stuff on there, and it's very cool. So I really enjoyed doing that. And then the next day, Danny Romero, the producer from American Freedom Radio, called me up and asked me if I wanted to do my own show. So I was like, hell yeah. So I'm going to be doing a radio show three times a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So from 6 to 8 Eastern time. And this is really incredible because, you know, for months, you know, these Stratocasters have been telling me that I'm an idiot and I don't know anything about basic science. And, you know, Mr. Biblia says I'm a whore. And despite that, I'm going to have a radio show. So how cool is that?
And there you go.
Kevin, that reminds me. That reminds me. I don't know if you heard about this, and I was going to announce this tonight. I was at my local park here. And I cut one of my nails off with one of those clippers, and it fell on the ground. And Danny Romero, the producer from American Freedom Radio, happened to be there. And he said, Marcus, I really like the way you clipped your nail. I'd like to give you a show 5 days a week.
Well, it's 3 days a week.
I'm sorry,
and
3 days.
First,
no, but I was such a star performer clipping my nails that I actually got 5 days a week. I mean, this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous.
She was interviewed by Jack Blood, who
I have a story about. I have a story about Jack Blood.
Total truth. Come on now, Jack Blood is the man.
Yeah.
He went against Alex Jones after I don't know how many years or whatever, being his sidekick, right hand man, and said, you know, I stood up for him. Alex Jones, and I took some slack and I covered for him. And I'm thinking, you know. Well, this is what me and Ed did a show on, these guys, splitting up. And then him doing a whole series of videos. And then, you know, Alex Jones doing another series of videos on how he was just jealous, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, you know, this guy knows that he was lying and he was covering for him. If you're a truther, are you going to cover for somebody who is telling lies and having his staff sign autographs that he don't do and blah, 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 you know, on and on and on. And that was one of my main questions was, why did it take you so long to just say, yo, you know, F you, I'm out of here.
Mm-hmm.
No, he stuck with Alex for quite a bit. And he is one of the main personalities on American Freedom Radio.
Right. I think you need to – that's a little bit of inside baseball. I want to kind of detail that out. Jack Blood used to be a host on GCN Live, which is Alex's network, basically.
Right.
And they – something supposedly happened. I call this professional wrestling. Just like in professional wrestling, you've got all of a sudden the good guy, like Hulk Hogan, he turns rogue, and now everyone hates him, and they're all fighting against him.
The thing different there is they had actually, you know, the wrestlers actually admit that it's all choreographed.
Right.
You guys don't.
Right. Of course not. They can't. They can't. So Jack Blood goes off air, and then he winds up in American Freedom Radio. And now all of a sudden he starts telling the truth about Alex Jones, and that's what you had mentioned, the fact that he used, for example, Alex Jones was such a big hot shot guy that he wouldn't even sign autographed copies of his book, so he had the staff do it. And, you know, Jack Blood had a whole, you know, rip show about how Alex Jones is a fraud. He doesn't even sign autographed copies, blah, blah, blah. This is obviously divide and conquer strategy, professional wrestling, which is part of controlled opposition, where next thing you know, everyone's fighting against each other, and that really confuses us. And, again, remember, that's the whole point here of controlled opposition. Two things. Distract or spin us off into La La Land. So you hear this and you're like, why am I listening to this? And you get turned off and then you stop pursuing the truth. So that is what I call mission accomplished. By the way, check this out, Kevin. You ever hear of James Corbett of the Corbett Report?
Corbett? What? Wait a minute. Are you talking about Rob? Wait a minute. Are you talking about the guy that comes on after James the Jew Stewart?
I don't know. See, I don't even listen to this nonsense anymore.
You're
I
talking
just
about the Colbert Report?
Oh, no. Corbett. James Corbett.
Oh,
Not Stephen Colbert. James Corbett. Now, this James Corbett interviews Alex Jones about the cashless society. Let me post a link to that. Now, I want you to take a look just at the first couple seconds of the video. Well, if you go to the Corbett Report, there's one of eight videos of 50, and on the right-hand side, there's a 10-minute and 56-second The Cashless Society. Do you see that link?
No, I lost my chat, so I'll tell you when I get it back.
Let me pull it up here for everyone else who's listening. You've got to see this. Okay, here we go. I'm going to post this into the chat once I grab it. And by the way, I posted a comment at YouTube and, of course, got a -3 spam ranking voted down because I'll read what it has to say here. So here we go. I'm posting the link into the chat. Everyone, take a look at this. This is great.
Okay, there it is. All right.
Did you see the link to YouTube?
Yeah, I was able to get back on that quick for some goofy reason.
Okay, let me read what I wrote. James Corbett uses a split screen to give the appearance he's in some far-off land, but the fact is Corbett resides in Austin, Texas, just like Alex Jones, just like 99% of the alternative truth radio shows, all in Austin, Texas. Look at the bottom of Corbett's site for his phone number at CorbettReport.com. Same area code as Alex Jones. And the broadcast background image is faked. Video clip art, which you can get for just a buck, found at videohive.net.
Oh, yeah. Easily you can see that's fake. You can see the outline of them. It's a green screen.
Exactly. So that's what this whole truth move. Aaron Berg's the one who told me about the 512 area code. All of the truth shows all come from Austin, Texas.
Yeah, as does American Freedom Radio, 512. Mm-hmm.
Right. So this is more fakery. Just amazing.
So what's up with Texas? I mean, it seems that our last president came out of Texas, and all these phone numbers you're getting, they're all from Texas, and everybody's in Texas, and all the shootings, the fake shootings are in Texas, and everything's in Texas, except for the last couple things that just happened, like in Russia. Mm-hmm. And, of course, then you have the Christian militia that was targeting police Give me a break, man.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to target police and call them some kind of satanic brotherhood?
Correct.
This, you know, I mean, you're not targeting police. This is all to step up security once again, twice in 2 days. Two different measures of the ability to step up the security again. You know, in Russia, they said it today on the Fox News. They were going to step it up. And obviously, you know, you're looking for David Stone and David Stone Jr. And Joshua Stone is still on the run, by the way. And these are Christian militia. But the FBI had been following them since 2008. They weren't able to bust them for anything. Because it's okay to have machine guns and run around in the woods. And they have film of these guys running around in the woods with machine guns, for God's sake. It's not okay to own a machine gun. That's not the truth. And that's what they told us today on the Fox News. And so,
yep.
You know, they didn't have enough on them, and they were and blah, blah, blah. And it's the same old crap over and over and over. And all they're doing is stepping up every bit and ounce of security that they can do, man, so that they can just have cameras and tap your phones and go into your websites and sooner or later, who knows. And I'm not trying to fearmonger anybody, you know, but this is what I'm seeing. You can't get on a plane. You can't get on a bus. You can't get on a subway anymore, you know, unless you're strip searched, basically. And this is crazy. And then they're targeting Christians. And then they're targeting, you know, truthers, 911 truthers. They're all nuts. And then the teabaggers. Which, by the way, I don't ever would never want to be called a teabagger any more than I would want to be called a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand this whole game. I mean, I do understand the whole game. But, you know, the normal person that walks around in daylight and looks up and doesn't even see a chemtrail, and they call it a cloud, and then when you try to tell them, they say, you're crazy. No. Targeting right. Christians, how? Guess who just said, you see that? Because they're calling these Christian militia that are targeting the law enforcement, the police. The Christian militia has named and deemed them, you know, as the Brotherhood of Satan. That's how. Watch the news much? I mean, seriously, you got to watch the news to understand what people are being told. And so when you turn your TV off, you're out of the matrix. You know, and that's fine and dandy if that's the way you want to be. But I see, it's much easier for me to have a TV on the side here on my right and the computer in front of me. That way I can keep track of all of it instead of trying to, you know, go to the websites and look it up the latest news. It's much easier for me to see, you know, the underlying thing, which now it says Americans wonder what is next on President Obama, the Obama agenda. You know, that's what they're talking about. So if I want to find out, I look away, I turn the sound up on the TV, and I listen as I'm researching something else. And my researches are extremely complicated, and my head just about explodes every day. And there's not a day that goes by where I don't have a slamming headache.
So why would you continue to watch TV if you keep getting headaches?
Well, I guess it's the combination of the two, trying to keep track on my right there of the you know, what they're saying on the Fox News there, and then looking up some stuff on the Internet. And so while I'm reading, I'll be listening to something on the Internet while I'm reading, and then I'll keep track on my right. See, I do two or three things at a time, which is insane. And that's why my head is overloaded. You know, if I did one thing at a time, it wouldn't be so bad.
It's absolutely torturous for me to go pick up a pizza at Sam's in Quarryville because they've got the Fox News on all the time, and it is incredibly disgusting for me to watch it. It is literally more, what's the word I'm looking for? I'd rather watch paint rust than watch Fox News.
Yeah, so you understand.
No, but I don't understand. I've never understood why it seems like you're becoming so awake to this stuff, yet you're having a hard time getting off of the news. I mean, when you say that you need to keep up with this stuff, you don't see me keeping up with this stuff. I don't know anything about healthcare or Obama or except for some things that I stumble upon on YouTube clips. And I don't even like watching that. So I don't see how that could be beneficial.
Well, it may not be, but I think it is because I can keep track of everything at one time. It's kind of like I don't even know what to compare that to because there is nothing. While you're trying to find the truth on one screen and you're looking at all the propaganda on the other and you're trying to understand what the public is believing, and then you look over here and you're trying to understand what the real people kind of are wanting to find out, and then you see the shill comments, and man, I'm going to seriously stop commenting on YouTube. Because
I highly recommend it. It's a complete waste of your time. Sure.
Yeah, it absolutely is.
Like, I do it from time to time, like I did in that one I just showed you, because I lapse into temporary insanity, and I'm like, maybe this time I'll do a comment and people will accept it. Nope, they got voted down 3 times, and I'm sure no one even checked it out. So why even waste your time?
Yeah, well, I guess I'm nuts. Some of the things I find on the Truther Girls are pretty intriguing. Like this one link I'm about to put in, this chemtrail thing. Okay, I know you guys, you and Aaron, talk about, you know, show me some proof about what's really in there. Now, here's the thing. If you look at this, you're going to see that the cloaking device that they're just now starting to try and reveal has actually already been happening for quite some time now. They're cloaking the planes that spray these trails.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not only that they're just unmarked anymore, but after I looked at this video, I thought to myself, man, you know, I've seen this. And I just didn't realize that I couldn't see the plane because it was cloaked. I thought it was just so filled with trails that, you know, it was kind of being hidden. But if you take a look at that video I just posted, you're going to see that the thing looks like Predator. It's being cloaked. And so the light retraction science is there. You know, when they gave us the movie Predator, they had it already.
Well, this is a good example we can talk about controlled opposition. First of all, with patch match technology from Adobe, which is the military, nothing that we see can be trusted. Nothing. Nothing.
This is actually a video that she took on her like phone, or she had a cam with kind of a telescopic lens, and she honed in on it.
But how do we know that she's real? How do we know that she's telling us the truth?
Well, because there's other videos out there by other people, and I have seen this and not understood that the reason I wasn't seeing the plane was because it's cloaked. Mm-hmm. I thought it was just so covered with smoke trails that I couldn't see it.
But there's a company in New York City called CameraPlanet.com that bought supposedly over 500 hours worth of 9/11 video, and every single frame of the video has been messed with.
Okay.
So I don't trust any. Let me show you this. Here's the newest one from Adobe. You've got to see this. No, I think you didn't see this one.
Oh, there's another one?
Take a look at this and tell me your jaw doesn't drop down. Seriously, go take the 5 minutes to watch this video. It's 5 minutes and 7 seconds. And I was at a forum for Photoshop experts, and the number of times people said, holy effing S, was like a world record. Look what they can do now with video and photography. You can literally not trust any picture ever again.
This is beyond patch match.
Beyond patch. Watch. If you're watching like I am, I'm at the 20-second mark. They're literally going to take a tree, circle the tree, and hit the delete key, and it's gone.
Okay, there they go, circling it. I'm at 45 seconds.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. They're just dotting it out. Yeah, this is quite similar to Patch Match.
Yep. But the really impressive one is they're going to take the tree up at the end. They're going to take the tree above the lady sitting on the park bench.
Put it in the sky?
In the sky. Yeah, it'll the sky will just show through. Yeah. So I can no longer point people to pictures and say, see, it's true because there it is.
Well, this video that I posted was about a year ago.
Yeah, but you don't understand. 9/11 used the same technology that I'm showing you right now.
Right, but Sonya and the Truther Girls weren't anybody. They seriously took this video, and I'm telling you, I've seen this. I just didn't realize that I was actually seeing a cloaked plane.
Right, and by the way, I believe there are cloaked planes because I've seen the same thing. All I'm trying to do is point out that just because you see something on a picture or in a photograph or a video doesn't mean it's true. The second thing is, the most important part, is, okay, they're showing you this. What are we going to do about it? Who cares? How does that give us a solution?
Well, it's not a solution. It's just like understanding that when you think you don't see a plane or when you're thinking you're, you know, seeing it covered by so much smoke that it's actually cloaked. And so this predator technology has been around quite a bit for a long time.
No, I get
and
that.
They gave
but
it,
how is that?
Look at the movie. Who did the movie? Arnold Schwarzenegger and
sure.
Jesse Ventura.
Right.
Okay, so there you have it.
Right.
You shouldn't
but, I mean,
even have to say anything.
You know, there's only so much stuff that we can look at, and how is this going to help us come up with a solution? Okay, I'll buy it. You guys are cloaking chemtrails. Okay, now what?
Yeah, you know what? I don't even understand why they would do that, because wasn't it good enough just to have the silver unmarked planes? I mean, some of the things they do, I really don't understand. It doesn't make any sense. They don't need to do that. They're just testing it, you know, to see if the people understand that, yeah, wow, hey, wait a minute. There's no plane there. How is that possible? But then you look at the video real close and you see like a predator effect where you can see the light refraction exactly the same way as you saw in the Predator movie. So they're basically, I guess, they're just testing it on us, you know, to see how effective it is.
Or they could want us to know that they're doing that, so we talk about it and we have no solutions. That's my point.
Right. Well, whether we don't or do, I think we have no solution.
Guess two. Sorry, man, but this video isn't enough. I don't know what that means. Tell me more what that means. Enough about what?
About how they can mess with your videos? Come on.
I mean, this video is so smoking gun to me. How can you miss that? What am I missing?
I don't know.
I mean, don't you agree? The cloaked plane video.
Oh, he's talking about my cloaked. Yeah, okay. He's talking about my video.
Oh, okay.
No, it's not my video. It's Truther Girls, Sonya.
Which are controlled opposition.
Well, I hope they come on Friday night, and you got to be there if they do. I'll make
sure.
Well,
I'm not even going to show up for them because I know they won't show up. There's no way they're going to show up.
Well,
I contacted her. I contacted her several times under one of her websites where I pretended like I wanted to buy her stuff, and she didn't even reply to that.
Really?
Yeah.
Is everybody getting kicked out of the chat, or are they just losing interest?
No, they've lost interest.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Well, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, we've been doing this for over, and it's, you know, people are getting kicked. The best thing to do is to download the software, the TalkShoe Live Pro software, which is a very compact download, and it doesn't kick when you do that. That's why I keep hitting the period to make sure that I'm not kicked, so I'll do it again.
Yeah, I hit the apostrophe or whatever, but I see the guest, too, said that basically, after I just got done shooting them down, I shouldn't bring up one of their videos. See, and that's the thing. Evidently, Guest 2 does not know how to read between lines. And if you don't know how to read between lines, you're done. Because you might as well forget it and go hide your head in the sand, dude. Because if you can't read between the lines, it's over. Because Alex Jones has a little truth, and Jesse Ventura has a little truth, and the Truther girls have some truth, and everybody's got a little truth going, no matter how controlled they are, because that's how they do it. So if you can't read between the lines, just give it up.
I think you need a little bit of both. I think if you were to say, have the disclaimer and saying, listen, I am 99% sure that the Truther girls are controlled opposition, but you might want to take a look at this interesting video. That might be a way to kind of kill two birds with one stone. And then you get people knowing, you know, okay, you've given them the warning and proceed at your own risk.
Yes, he's on the same thing. I mean, I guess he didn't even listen or hear me. Yeah, I admit that I said, yeah, you know, they didn't take my call. I was emailing them through the show. And then I said, oh, man, you should take a look at this Truth of Girls video and see the cloaked plane. Yeah, I did. So what? Read between the lines.
Well, I think what Gus, too, is saying is it sounds like you're endorsing them, and it'll make you look like you're endorsing controlled opposition.
Well, that's, again, read between the lines. PR, huh? Whatever, man. You know, I get this on my show all the time. I get this in comments. I get this in emails. I get this, you know, it's left and right. When you are trying to read between the lines, I don't know, people don't trust you? I don't know. And once again, I'll say it. If you can't do that, then you might as well give it up because you're not going to get anything ever.
I just think he or she is just trying to be helpful, so I would just take it as a constructive criticism. That's the way I'm taking it. I think it's good advice.
Yeah, all I'm saying is be careful, man, chill. Yeah, he said that. Okay. I am careful. And if you can't read between the lines, then forget it because we're being lied to by everybody. We've been lied to, you know, from birth. I was born into a Christian family and something that they had understood all their life and God knows how many generations before that. And so I believed what I was told. They're my parents. They're not going to lie to me, right? Or they're not going to lie to me on purpose, at least.
Right. The second part you just said is right. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And so, I mean, you know, everybody lies to you, especially people, you know, that get on all of a sudden an American Freedom Radio show. Out of the blue, all they did was they went from YouTube to American Freedom Radio, which I find amazing. You know, I mean, they did have lots of followers, and they still do. And that's probably the reason. You know, I know these guys like Jack Blood, Alex Jones, all they monitor, or not personally probably, but they have their goonies or whatever, monitor the YouTube, monitor, the, you know, see, check these people out, see if they can use them, see if they're likable, you know, attractable, whatever. And that's how they do it.
So, a little birdie just told me that guest two is a person by the name of BW. I got that information by email, and I appreciate BW being here, and I'd like to – it was actually BW who was the final straw that broke the camel's back to get me to do this broadcast as I'm choking to death. And
really,
it
so
was
– why don't these – I don't understand why you just don't log in under your name.
I agree. In fact, it would be great if okay, great. He just said who his name is. Brooke Letzkoff.
Et cetera.
I understand it. It's because, and you know, I harp on this all the time, Kevin, that we're told by controlled opposition, Alex Jones, Alan Watt, that they're all out to get us, that if we give up our personal information, that they're going to track us down and they're going to kill us, send us off to FEMA camps and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you got to die sometime, man. Who cares? Seriously, you got to get over that.
I agree with that. And then there's a part of me that you do want to be a little bit careful where you go because I've mentioned this before, and I said this in my example at the bank. I said, I know of a woman who typed in high cholesterol just reading what guest two, Brooke.
Yeah, I see that. He doesn't like to sign up in every freaking thing on the world. Yeah, I agree. If this is the first time you ever did this, then, yeah, you're checking it out. That's cool.
So I was at the bank, and I said, you know how, you know, we're told not to, you know, if you're not doing anything wrong, then there's nothing to worry about. And that isn't necessarily true. And it reminds me of a woman that I heard about last year who typed in, like, high cholesterol into Google because she had a – she needed to do some research for her daughter's book report or something, some kind of report. And it was about high cholesterol. So she typed that into Google. And then about a month later, her insurance was canceled with no reason. And she happened to have gotten the insurance plan because her best girlfriend worked at the insurance company. So she contacted the woman, her friend, and said, hey, friend, do you know why your company canceled me? And she was able to find out what the PIC code was, the error code, or whatever the reason was for cancellation. And she said it's because it was discovered that you had high cholesterol. Isn't that unbelievable? So through TIA, Total Information Awareness, which is a program that ties all this data together, the insurance companies saw that you were typing in high cholesterol and later canceled you because they assumed that you had high cholesterol.
And wasn't this a Google implemented thing? Wasn't this from Google that they started doing that?
I don't know because they're all the same. There is no such thing as competition, as we've talked about before.
Well, I believe on the Google site they started putting the wait a minute. Maybe it was MD.
Google does have a new health. Google does have new health results.
Right.
I know
from
that.
The MD, from looking into the MD online, the medical doctor or something or other, whatever that is, where you go in and you find all kinds of answers and questions to your ailments because they want to find out,
right,
you know, if you're healthy and fit for them to use or if you can be just eliminated because your health is poor. And right now they're just going to eliminate you if they hear you coughing this whole time like that, you know.
Right.
You ain't worth crap to them.
Mm-hmm. So I can understand why Brooke would want to – by the way, is Brooke a female X chromosome or Y chromosome? I'd like to know that because it can go both ways. But, male. Okay. You know, you do want to – you don't want to jump into things. I get that. One of the things that we talk about, Truth in 7 Minutes, is – at least give us your first name so we get an idea of that you're a real person. It's interesting because all the people who complain about giving a first name, you later find out are controlled opposition. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
So,
and that's why I have my guests automatically muted so that the little red thing catches my eye and I can unmute them and see what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened to Naresh there? Where's Aaron? Are you sending out because I noticed I didn't get any email saying, you know, I'm having a show like I usually get.
No, I wanted to go solo on this one because coincidentally, any time I've mentioned the fact that I was going to do something about controlled opposition and I promoted it, I had them show up and they would distract me into other ridiculous tangents and then I would never get into the main nitty-gritty about controlled opposition. So I wanted to do it on the fly, and it was because of Brooke's email and my conversation about Jesse Ventura at the bank today. I said, you know what, I just got to do something real quick about this, and that's why we're here, which is great.
Well, so, you know, I mean, on my last show, I opened up with my usual little couple songs, and then I played a clip where Alex Jones was asking Jesse, hey, what's going on, you know, and are you getting your show re-upped there? And Jesse said, yeah, as a matter of fact, 8 to 10 shows, and I'm going, yay! You know, Ed Blacksheep sent that to me, and he's out of town now, so that's why he's not here.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yay! I mean, because seriously, I love that show. And, you know, if you want to take that the wrong way, whatever, I love entertainment. And I have a very strange sense of humor. And besides a strange sense of everything, practically, you know. In other words, like being born a Christian, going through life as a Christian, and believing what I was told there, and then finally being called out for the last time, turning back to Tanakh, which you were not taught the right things about it, and then just going against the Christian opposition, which took that book and ran with it and just made it a total farce and lies. I have, as of recently, even told my co-host on Let Truth Be Known, that's it, I'm done. There is no more preaching in my head. None.
Great.
I understand. I believe God. I believe in God. I believe in the Creator. But as far as religion, everybody thinks they're the chosen people. And it makes me sick, and I can't take it no more. So I'm done. And I don't think he liked that too much because he left me a bad rating on my show, and we were co-hosts. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But, oh well, what are you going to do?
Yeah, I mean, I've said this before. You know, I don't like it when the Jehovah's Witness knocks on your door at 6 o'clock while you're trying to eat dinner with a big smile and a book in their hand and telling you there's a better path to life than what you're going through. I don't think too many people go for that too much.
No.
And that's what I used to do. That's preaching, and that's what I used to do myself. So I don't preach. I give my opinion, base it around fact. I point people to links. And then I helped them try to deprogram themselves, and which I was actually told could be a form of programming. And now that I think about it,
right.
might be true. And, you know, going the preacher route is just a huge turnoff for a lot of people. So I just don't go there.
Yeah, I mean, how do you ever actually convince people that you're trying to find out what the truth is?
It's
impossible.
Ready? I'm going to say something because my son's not in the room. I don't give a flying fuck. How's that? Never heard me say the F-bomb before, right? I don't give a flying fuck at what they think. This isn't about them. I set up Truth in 7 minutes for my family. If anyone wants to listen in and give some thoughts and... I see. Here's Brooke back. Brooke, it'd be great if you call in. We could talk about Oxley. So I don't care. I mean, I don't care if people think that I'm a loon, whack job, or a conspiracy theorist. I know I'm not. I do. I have many people coming up to me now, and like at the bank, who they always start off the same way. You know, when you first started talking like this, I thought you were crazy. But I have to tell you, I'm reading what Brooke is saying. Oh, come on.
Yeah, me too.
Brooke, come on, call in.
Yeah, call in. So what? So
I bet we'll get you rolling once you call in. There's nothing. There's no way you have nothing to say. That's nonsense. Call in.
That's
so anyway,
true.
When I get people who tell me at first I thought you were this, but now I'm starting to see what you're saying, great. I knew it would happen. And you know what's going to happen? 100 years from now, they're going to be like, my God, how come we didn't know about Mark and Kevin? How come we didn't pick their brains while they were still living?
Well, same kind of thing as Eustace Mullins.
Well, I don't think Eustace Mullins is real, but we'll have to disagree on that one.
Yeah, well, whatever. I mean, I've listened to him. And see, the thing is, he didn't have the internet, and he didn't do things the way we do it. He actually did go out, like when especially Aaron will say, Have you seen this person yourself and asked him the questions yourself? Well, this guy did that.
Well, that's what we're told he did.
Well, yeah, and he's got tons of gold. He does. If you listen to his stuff, I mean.
So does Alan Watt.
Of course.
Alan Watt has tons of gold, but he's controlled opposition.
There you go. And once again, you got to read between the lines.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Eustace says something I don't agree with, I just say, okay, well, I don't agree with that. But in the meantime, seriously, about 3/4 of the stuff he says, I think is real good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as far as Alex Jones, he's proven himself to be a lunatic time and time again, so I don't have any clue why people even bother.
Well, it's simple. It's because he's been chosen to be that way. He's been chosen to lead the movement because he's promoted at every angle. When he says he puts out, he's crazy because he puts out his videos for free, that's a brilliant marketing angle. What you do is you tell people it costs money, and then a few percentage of the people do it. And then you say, well, these people are paying it, but if you want to see it in a little bit lower quality, which is just basically his voiceover, you can get it for free. So what do people do? They get it for free, and watermarked on every video is a promotion for his website. It's brilliant.
Buy the DVD, right.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, it's come scrolling across the screen. I was watching, as a matter of fact, I downloaded a show on 9/11, which I thought had lots of gold in it. And as I was watching it, you know, it's a video. I got it off Google. And the next thing I know is I see scrolling across the thing is prisonplanet.com. Go here to buy the DVD. And I'm thinking, oh, crap. You know, but, well, you know what? This is still good for people to hear. So I let it alone. I put it up. And so then you got to read between the lines, man. And, I mean, I can't find anything that gives you total truth. So in order to upload videos or audios onto my TalkShoe page, it's impossible. I would have to edit out what I thought was, and I don't like editing. I don't edit anything. I don't edit my shows, and I don't edit. I edit commercials out when I put the Truther Girls up. That was it.
Well, 9/11 can be explained away in like 60 seconds. It's simple. If you rewind your video, because most people had it, they videotaped it, of what happened at 9/01 on September 11th, and compare that with what was seen on the evening news at 6:37, the same exact video of what happened was altered. In the 9/01,
it sure was.
In the 9/01 video from the NBC Today show angle, you did not see a plane crash into the South Tower.
No, you did not.
But at the 6:37 video, you saw the background taken out of the exact same angle with a video with a plane inserted in.
And a new background.
With no background. Right, no background.
Oh, yeah.
It was a clear day there.
Yeah, it was beautiful. I remember that day.
Mm-hmm. So, and then you say, so that's your 30 seconds right there. And then the other 30 seconds is, first of all, seven buildings came down on 9/11, not two, not three, but seven came down, totally annihilated. And the debris pile was only 25 feet high of two 110-story buildings became 25 feet of debris. The building was dustified midair. Planes can't do that. Plane can't dustify a building midair.
And I don't
so there's 9/11 explained in a minute.
And I don't – well, see, the thing is, it starts making you look at how did they do this.
Doesn't matter.
Not even – well, the normal truther kind of person seeking to find out what exactly happened is going to go all over the place trying to figure out how did they disintegrate steel and how did they just disintegrate everything and how were these people breathing aluminum? I mean, this was it called? The Ground Zero cough or something?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they discovered aluminum dust. How do you get aluminum dust?
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea.
But you know what? I've been looking at this, and Simon's been looking at this, and Naresh has been looking at this since for like 4.5 years now. And
yeah,
we don't even have the first clue how they did it. And this is all we breathe. Pardon the pun. Pun intended.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the idea that someone's going to be able to figure this stuff out, I mean, look, it's been almost 50 years since JFK. Talk about controlled opposition. Everything from the Zapruder film to all the people who are the lead investigators into what happened with JFK, they're all controlled opposition. They spin us off into La La Land. They give us little nuggets of truth, and then they tell us that a bullet, when you shoot it from behind, has the head go backward. Give me a break.
Yeah. And not only that, but dude was he was amazing because he was able to – this was a bold action once again. The same scenario with the that last Littleton shooting. A
yeah.
bolt action gun that you that single shot that you had to reload.
Mm-hmm.
So he shot and reloaded three times according to you know the official story, and that's that. And people believe it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most amazing thing that people actually, you know, they'll show you these experts are able to actually, you know, load and reload the gun three times real quick. And so they'll take it as, okay, well, that's cool. Then that's that. Somebody can do it. Oswald must have been able to do it. But not only did he load and reload, but he took aim from quite a distance, and he hit him several times. So I don't know how that worked, but it didn't work, you know. And so that brings me back to that show tonight where this guy was saying the Jesuits have nothing to do with anything.
Mm-hmm.
And he just was saying, you know, show me the facts and show me the proof and show me this. And he was just shutting them down. And it was almost like they let him do that because I cannot believe they were so unprepared. First of all, the dude was a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
They knew he was a lawyer.
Well, if he's a lawyer, he has to be a Mason. That's number one.
And when they questioned Mason, you know, about the Rockefellers being Masons or whatever, he said, well, I really don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And but they were not able to come back with anything. And it was just – and I'm still watching my email, and I have no response to any of it. And it's just incredible.
That's like watching a water boil. It ain't going to happen. Let me ask you this, Kevin. If you had to give one smoking gun evidence that the Jesuits run everything from behind the scenes, could you come up with one smoking gun evidence of that?
Not really.
Well, for me, there are two. The first one is kind of loose. It could be puffed off as nonsense, but 78% of all professional sports, hockey, basketball, football, and baseball, are run or owned by Jesuits. Did you know that?
Well, I kind of looked into that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because you went to Georgetown or whatever, you know, you could blow that off pretty easy.
Okay. But here's one that you can't. Here's one that you cannot blow off. Ready?
Good.
Every cabinet member, including the speechwriter of Obama, is a Jesuit.
Really?
Yeah. You should look into that.
Now, here's the problem I have that I found today by accident. When Mayor Amschel Bauer, who was the original Rothschild in 1700s, you know, Frankfurt, Germany, in Jew Alley, he said in 1748, give me control of the nation's money, and I don't care who you put in to make the laws. It's gone.
Right, you said that before.
It's gone. Yeah, it's gone. I can't find it. And I'm seriously, I went into I Am Witness, and I went into all these other ones that I've seen it in 1740. It's gone.
But here's the thing.
So
you can easily debunk that. I could say, well, there was some rogue guy who has issues with the Jesuits, and he put that out on different blogs under different names. And the reason it's gone is because it was never there. It was made up in the first place. See that?
Well,
that's
all they
have
to say, yeah. And the same thing with the
Jesuit oath of induction.
Oh, yeah. Well, wow. That's insane.
They could say the same thing. There's no such thing as the Jesuit oath of induction.
Oh, yeah,
it was just some anti-Jesuit blogger who put it on 10 different blogs under different names. That's called sock puppet accounts. And
right.
That's the reason it's out there big time, but there's no such thing as the Jesuit oath of induction. So that, too, could be easily debunked.
Right, and that's the same thing with the Elders of Zion, the protocols. It was disproved here, disproved there. Now, the thing I realized the other day was that the ADL was formed, you can't talk about the Jews because they're immediately anti-Semite. But you can talk all you want about the Catholicism and the Vatican and the Jesuits, and nothing happens.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't kind of eliminate, you know, the things that you see, all of a sudden you go back in the link to look and it's gone. You know, when they held the G20 in Pittsburgh,
mm-hmm.
I found a thing that was absolutely amazing, that they were going to have chosen people from the central bank control the banks of the world. And I had that lined up in my favorites. So I was getting ready to read that one night. And I went back and I was reading and I passed by it because it wasn't there. And I'm thinking, whoa, what just happened? And I went back and I said, and I started looking through it and I'm trying to find it. And I'm going, oh, my God, man, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
What I just read earlier, probably, I don't know, 3 hours earlier, it was gone.
Mm-hmm.
So every implementation there about the central bankers being in control keeps disappearing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether the Vatican, you know, and seriously, at the same time these things were happening, these bankers or money changers, whatever you want to call them, usuries, whatever you want to call them, you know, the Pharisees in the Bible and the Roman Empire went hand in hand. And that's like, I mean, you can get that in history, and you can also find that biblically. So I keep going back and forth and going back and forth, and I keep coming to the conclusion, well, you know what, these guys are hand in hand. And
sure.
I don't know who started it and who is doing it, but these guys are all covering for each other, and they're blaming each other, just like the kind of,
mm-hmm.
like you call the wrestling, WWE.
Professional wrestling, right?
That's it. And just like John Kerry and George Bush did, and, you know, they had that little video where John Kerry said, this son of a bitch is devious, you know, and they made it like they didn't want him, they didn't want you to see him say that.
Right.
And he was talking about George Bush.
Right. Yet they're related.
And in the meantime, right. In the meantime, they have an oath to each other. They're brothers.
Right.
You know, and they're above all oaths, including the presidential oath.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We live in La La Land. This is La La Land.
This is the Matrix, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what pushes me away from everything, including all religion. Because if you want to believe in God, which I do, you know, I believe there is a creator. And I believe when you find out, man, what you have done through your life, if it's not for the good of mankind, you're in deep shit. And I hope your son wasn't standing there with the S word.
No, my son's actually, I think, in bed right now.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because we're seriously, man, the only thing we can do is try to promote kindness. And I guess the word love is a good word. And truth. And when you lie to people and when you spin them off into this matrix and when you're paid, controlled, op, you know, man. Something, whether you want to say the word karma or, you know, whatever you want to use, it comes back. It does come back, and sometimes instantaneously. And then and I don't know how it works and why people are let go so long and why these completely evil rulers have almost total control at this point. Not quite, almost. The self-care plan? Man, oh my. There's things in there that have nothing to do with healthcare. There's things in there, and oh man, let me see if I got this other clip here. Obama saying, "Oh man, I know I put it in here." Obama is talking about. Oh man, where is it? Obama takes up healthcare. No, that's not it. Oh, man. How many people? Let me kind of. Darn. Oh, here it is. Now, listen to this real quick. This is Obama. Now, listen to what he's doing and what he wants to do.
We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
Now, did you hear that?
I have to admit, Kevin, whenever I hear any of this stuff, I tune out. Because would you listen to Hulk Hogan tell you about health care?
No, but do you understand the applause in the background and the people that are listening to this? And
oh, yeah,
thinking,
they're buying.
Yeah, this is
that's what I mean.
Thing.
I feel bad for them.
This
they're buying
insane.
It from Science Anchor. And,
yeah. Insane.
Right, but whenever I hear a politician, whenever I hear the news people speak, I just tune it out. Unless they're good looking, then I'll watch.
Well, Obama's Egyptian. He's not even black and white. So, and I keep saying that over and over and over. And one day you'll people will understand that. But for somebody to say we need to have a civilian armed force, basically, that is as powerful and well funded as any army. What is he, man? You know, and did you see the way he was indoctrinating I guess they were high school kids, and they all had gold boots on, and they're saying because Obama I this, and because Obama I that, and because Obama I'm able to become a lawyer, and because of Obama, and you know what? And they have gold boots on, and you know what? That's a signature of the Rothschilds.
Mm-hmm.
So whether you look at the Rothschilds or the Jesuits or, let's call it the Vatican. Because the Vatican is Rome,
mm-hmm.
in my eyes. So you got the empire and the money users. It's the same 2,000 years ago, and it's the same today. And nothing has changed. And they have been in control. It's not a new world order. Even Eustace Mullins said, the world order. He never said new world order. And I believe you said the same thing. It's the world order, not the new world order. There's nothing new about this. There's nothing
right.
new about the New Age religion. There's nothing new about – there's nothing new under the sun, period. It's just revised and renamed. So whenever people come on to and get the hint, and they find out that the people are seeing what they're doing, they rename it. It's just like, AIG? I guess they didn't rename that, right? But, they go bankrupt. They take billions of dollars in the stimulus plan, whatever, and then they rename themselves and come back as somebody new, and they're the same people. And so then you invest again, and you lose everything. And right now, we're in some deep shit because we're almost completely sold out. There are no more jobs, and there aren't going to be any more jobs unless you work for the government. And that's what they're setting up right now.
Right now it's 9:50 in the evening on Monday, March 29th, 2010. My name is Mark Allen. I'm the guy who started a website called truthin7minutes.com. That's the number 7. And there's lots of audios at that site now, probably over 200 hours. In fact, I'm very proud of this. Someone dared me to talk for 24 hours straight, and with Kevin's help and with a few other people's help, Aaron and Naresh, we actually went a little bit longer than 24 hours straight talking about these topics. One of the topics that I always wanted to talk about and never thought anyone was interested in was controlled opposition, and that's what we're talking about tonight. And I'm going to bring onto the phone right now a guy by the name of Brooke. It was Brooke's email, as well as a visit to my local bank today, that inspired me to do this broadcast. So I'd like to say good evening to Brooke. How are you doing, Brooke?
And he is new to this, so there must be
some kind
of... Well, he
just wrote, I don't want to turn your talk into a tech support call for me. It's not tech support. All you have to do is say hi.
Throw your opinion out there. Have a good time with it.
all I wanted to ask Brooke was, you know, where is he as far as, you know, where is he in the, you know, we think of truth as like onions of layers of an onion. You know, when you first come in to truth, probably the first person you think is giving you the truth. In fact, before I tell you who I think that is, who was your first truther, Kevin?
Alex Jones.
No, it was way before that. Think corporate media. Who's the person who you thought gave you the truth? Maybe through nightly news or local news or.
Oh, you know, I used to listen to, believe it or not, Glenn Beck, and I don't know how old he is. I used to also listen to a guy named Michael something or other. That's
Savage.
It. That's the guy.
Yep. So there you go. Your first layer of truth was the corporate media, and so it was Glenn Beck. I know Glenn Beck was.
It was Michael Savage, right. AM radio, and Glenn Beck was on either before him or right after him. Yep.
And as guest 21 pointedly said, Walter Cronkite was for a lot of people.
There you go.
That's the way it is, right? That's Walter Cronkite. And when it comes to – it even goes even closer than that, because if you think about the people who read the teleprompters, and a lot of people don't know that, but your local news is – The person who reads, the person giving you the news isn't just off the cuff thinking, oh, wow, there was a shooting in Center City tonight, and let's go to Jay Jennings for a live action report. That is word for word scripted
right.
Ahead of time. So here in Philadelphia, I know you're, did you ever have Philadelphia channels when you were growing up?
Yeah, I lived in Philly from the age of 5 to 2002.
Okay, I'm gonna predict who you're
most
gonna
of my
name.
Life.
I'm gonna predict who, what TV, what news you watch, and his name was JG.
Now you know I don't remember.
See, Channel 6, 18, Channel 6 Action News.
1978. I was 18 years old, and whoever it was back then, I don't remember their names. But yeah,
you don't remember. You don't remember Jim Gardner.
Oh my God.
Of course
yeah.
You do.
Okay, sorry. JG, yeah, never heard him called JG. Jim Gardner.
But Jim Gardner, I used to play golf with him. He would
really?
Play golf. He would play golf at Radnor Valley Country Club. That's where I used to work.
Is
and
that
when
Blue,
you went to
Blue
sorry?
Oh man. No, that was another dude. Bluebell?
You mean another golf course?
Yeah, in Bluebell, Pennsylvania.
There are tons of golf courses around here.
Okay.
Well, anyway, Radnor Valley was a Jewish country club.
Oh, okay.
And if you talk to Jim Gardner, you would not believe that he was the guy who read the news to you because he wasn't exactly the sharpest tool in the shed.
Right.
And you'll find that most of these reporters can't even carry a conversation with you, but they are excellent at repeating what's either said in their earpiece or what's read through a teleprompter.
Yeah, they can read very well. Yeah, and they had cue cards back then. It wasn't like even teleprompters, I think.
Mm-hmm. So there you go. You had your first level with Jim Gardner. Then you started waking up, and then it was Glenn Beck and Michael Savage. Was there anyone on TV?
Who was the guy that got the gerbil up the butt?
Oh, Jerry Pennacoli.
There you go.
That's interesting. Did you think he was telling you the truth?
You know, I didn't know what to believe back then. I tried to find TV shows. Like, they didn't have a history channel, but they did have history things, National Geographic specials.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I used to try and find, and that's what I used to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
Now to come to find out many years later that you know, the History Channel and the National Geographic, man, you better be real good at reading between the lines because
yeah.
They make everything look so amazingly true.
Mm-hmm. Well, just a little side note on that, they're owned by Hearst Publishing. If you look up Yellow Journalism,
Hearst. Really?
Yeah. If you look up yellow journalism.
You're talking about the tree industry.
The tree industry.
Yeah, those are the people that own the tree industry. Hearst and then DuPont was the plastics.
Maybe. No, Hearst Publishing is known for like Oprah Magazine all the way down to, gosh, I mean, they have a million titles. They're heavy into publishing.
I'll have to look into that because I bet you it's the same people. Just like the Schiffs are the same people today and the Oppenheimers are the same people. You know, the Rothschilds. You know, Aaron had a show about the Oppenheimers introducing the diamond, which was, I never knew that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I thought, oh, wow. Okay, so that's who did it. You know, because they all take a part.
As Guest 22 says, it's William Randolph Hearst, right? So if you look up Hearst into and you look up yellow journalism, you'll see the match. Basically, yellow journalism is basically telling lies to get the agenda across. So that's History Channel, everything from History Channel to Oprah Magazine. Guest 22 is saying Patty Hearst's father. Mm-hmm. So you know that the whole Patty Hearst kidnapping thing was probably nonsense.
Yeah, and I remember thinking for the first time, I believe that's what started making me look at, whoa, wait a minute, something ain't right here. I think it was that actually the Patty Hearst kidnapping.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first thing, and that was back in, what, 78, 9, 80, whatever?
Well before my time.
Yeah.
As far as being conscious.
Yeah, I was very unlucky. As a teenager, I started waking up to a lot of things and what I would do is drink myself out of it and smoke as much, you know, weed as possible because I didn't want to know. I seriously did not want to know. I said, man, I'm only 18 years old. I don't want to know this. And I used to blame God. I used to yell at God for saying, stop it. You know, don't tell me these things. I don't want to know. I don't want to be any kind of priest or truther or preacher or whatever the heck you got in store for me. And I don't want to do it. And, yeah, so I drank myself silly, man, for years and years and years, just trying to push it all out. But no matter what I did, it just kept smacking me in the face, and I just kept talking about it. And, you know, and my wife and I knew each other in 1977. We used to look up and try to figure out what the lines were in the sky.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. 1977.
So they've been chemtrailing since 77?
Before that. But, yeah, we saw it physically and with our own eyes. Yeah, they've been doing this for a long time. I remember my sister used to say, oh, there's more angel hair on the ground. And I didn't have any idea what that meant.
Mm-hmm.
And what they would do is whatever they were spraying would actually literally fall to the ground and create like little webs all over the ground. And then it would just disappear through the day. And they called that angel hair. They thought it was coming from the sky and they thought it was being made by angels. So they called it angel hair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this has been going on for a long, long, long time, man. Way before we were born.
Well, let's swing back and stay on topic with controlled opposition. So you got started with Jim Gardner. Then, of course, there's Walter Cronkite, you know, because everyone, you know, got their news from him. And that's the way it is. That was his tagline. Naresh is saying, I tried to call in but was ignored. Call in again. I didn't see it, Naresh. And then, more recently, you had Glenn Beck and Michael Savage, who, of course, are on radio, who you thought you were getting truth from. But what about on TV? Was there anyone else before them on TV that you're like, wow, I really respect what that person's saying. I'm going to listen to them?
You know, I recall a guy on Channel 6, and I think his first name was Jim, or I could be wrong. But he was like one of the poser type, good looking guys that all the women loved.
Jim O'Brien.
And I can't remember. Jim O'Brien. That's the guy.
He was the weather guy.
Yeah. Yep.
Do you see a pattern here?
Yeah, they're all posers, you know, if you want to call them that.
Yep.
And it's the same if you look on American Freedom Radio. I hate to say it, you know. All these people are posers. They all got the look. I mean, I was looking at the other day. I saw Christy on there. Okay, and she looked to me like Sarah O'Connor, or not O'Connor, Sarah Connor from Terminator.
Mm-hmm.
especially the one with the army hat on. I was like, oh, my God. I told my wife, I said, she looks like Sarah Connor. And, you know, she, I don't know about that 7 year military thing. There you go. Now, how do you have to call her?
Hi. Hold on 1 sec. Can you hear me?
My chat must be gone.
No, yeah. I could still hear you, though, Kevin.
Yeah, my chat's gone. I didn't see Naresh on the phone.
Yeah, I can hear Naresh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm at the border, so I just step out a little bit. Okay.
I was going to say, it was kind of noisy there for a second. Yep.
Yeah. It should be better, though.
That sounds perfect, yeah.
Yeah, I'm right outside the border, so I mean, it's like a little coffee shop, but I'm outside. It's cold, so nobody's outside, so I can talk freely.
Well, here's what I'm going to do, guys. I'm going to go swig some apple cider vinegar. This is a little tip for you. A teaspoon of apple cider vinegar with a tablespoon of water, and you gargle it 3 times, and then you down it, which is the most disgusting thing ever. And that gives you about 10 minutes of instant relief. So I'm going to go do that. So maybe, Naresh, you can tell us.
Yeah, I'll talk.
Do you know that's a Truth or Girl secret? Do you know that's on one of Truth or Girl's videos?
Oh, God. Then I'll take it back. I'll let you guys talk for 5 minutes. Talk for 5 minutes, and I'll be back,
right.
Okay?
They give you some vinegar, the Golden Truth, and shove it on.
Yeah,
they do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they give you a fraud lid, and you'll catch them. You'll say, aha, you're a fraud, right? You're a shill. But they mix it up, they confuse you.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't think they – I don't seriously think they meant to do what they're doing starting out. I think they really were into – and for all I know, seriously, they may be being used without realizing it.
Some of them,
so
yeah.
Until they show up on my
show
– yeah, until they show up on my show and I can grill them, you know, and I can turn –
This is Kevin, right?
Well,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Harp. Right.
Because I'm not on my machine. My computer's. I can't see who's on it, so I'm away from my machine right now.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, and so until and like I told him, if you listen to the thing I did when I was on their show, I said, well, I wanted to wait, you know, until I got you on my show to interrogate you, and sure. they kind of ignored those things that I said, and I said, well, yeah, just like Alex Jones, because she was. She was explaining the way a co-intel pro person would be. And so I said, yeah, just like Alex Jones, you know? And she said, well, I don't know about yeah. And then she said, well, I don't know about Alex Jones, but.
Right.
And so she totally avoided, you know. So, and I just wrote him, you know, I told him, I said, you know, are you actually going to show up on my show Friday or are you just effing with me? And so I haven't gotten a reply yet, so we'll see.
And the winner is.
Yeah, and it will be very interesting if they actually show up because, you know, we exchanged many emails over the past couple of days, and it looked like she's going to do, you know, they're going to do it. She's going to bring her and her husband and Karen, and they're all going to show up. And
What's your talk show? It's 44014, right? I'll try to download it tonight, that episode.
44064.
Okay, I'll try to download it tonight at the border to the Wi-Fi. Hopefully I can download it.
Yeah, there's all kinds of, I mean, and you don't even want to listen really seriously to my first stuff because
right.
I kind of had no clue, even though I did. But I think that I've grown so much in between my first show, which was a year ago, as of the 19th.
Sure.
Between then and now, man, what a change. And
you're
it just
not,
keeps
yeah,
going.
Right. Are you like buddies with Aaron Berg? Or because he's going to do, you do a lot of talk shows also, but talk shows are getting stranger and stranger. Now,
yeah, you know, I like Aaron. I listen to his stuff, and I talk to him, and I chat, you know, and I throw stuff at him. And especially the other night when Marcus was on his show, and they were talking about me, and, you know, I got an email. They're talking about you on Aaron's show. And I'm like, what? What are they saying? I said, nothing good, right? And he said, no, it's okay. They were just talking about you being on the Truth or Girls. And I said, oh, so what were they saying? And he would just give me little bits and pieces, so I finally logged in as a guest. And I was listening, and and then I heard him start talking, you know, because I said, you know, my one stepson is went to Jesuit High School, St. Joe's in Philly, and my other stepson is ex-military. And I have two stepsons, stepdaughter, two biological sons, and the biological daughter. Right. So I have loads of kids, and I don't like separating them like that, really, to tell you the truth. Actually, I have three stepsons.
I've been 6 years in Catholic school, so it doesn't make me a Jesuit.
Right. And they do have excellent curriculum, you know? I mean, they do teach some stuff that you don't find in public school.
Right.
Public schools
are awful. Yeah, in India, in those days, really bad. And we had to go either to Catholic school or private school. Otherwise, you go down the toilet. That's it.
Right. And that's why I quit school when I was 15, went and got a job. Because the first time I went to junior high, I started questioning the truth when I was 13 years old, who discovered America. And they didn't really appreciate that. And so I was sent to the principal. You don't question what I'm telling you. You don't raise your hand and say, wait a minute, I thought it was Magellan. And before that, actually, it was the Vikings. So how was it Christopher Columbus? Yeah, so they didn't like that.
No, the thing is, Henry Ford said it, actually. If you listen to Henry Ford, you know, the Model T Ford guy, the original Ford, he actually said history is bunk, and they're trying to spin it. They're saying lessons from history, you can learn lessons. It's all nonsense. Ford is a very high-level Mason. He's a genius, and he knew the history, the way it's written, is bunk. That's what he knew there from day one.
Yeah.
He's just telling you in his own way. History is a bunch of hooey. What he's telling you is a bunch of half-truths and outright lies and complete nonsense, you know. Nothing's so twisted, you know, so you don't take everything grain of salt, you know, along with the famous...
Yeah, so I get... Yeah, so I guess the first thing I actually questioned in life was, why are you telling me lies about Christopher Columbus being the first guy to, you know, discover America? I was 13 years old.
Right.
And who knew that it would come to this, you know? I could never have imagined in my wildest dreams that I'd be here these days seeing what I'm seeing and looking at this matrix we live in that is just so incredibly amazing.
The Tuntos are amazing. I have no doubt in my mind. All this, like the Sphinx is much older than 5,000 to 7,000 years. They're at least twice the age, maybe like 10,000 to 20,000 could be much older than that. And the Egyptologists all know that. The Sphinx has a lot of water erosion marks. It's a desert now, but when it was built, it was in the middle of fertile oasis. It was not a desert. And the Egyptologists are very intelligent people. Of course they know that. They have to know all this. They're suppressing all this information because they are Masonic societies. That's why. And if you try to come across a young, you know, archaeologist starting papers on the Sphinx is real age, you're going to get in big trouble. Funding the country cast out, you know, so you have to draw the line. And I think that's how they suppress knowledge. Along with that and the moon landing fraud and, you know, God knows what else.
I mean, I don't know how you can trace it in history, but biblically, you can say that Nimrod created the first, in the Bible, you know, where he's building that tower.
The Babel. Tower of Babel.
The Tower of Babel, right? And then all of a sudden, God sees that as a threat. How is God seeing a brick and mortar tower as a threat? There was something going on way beyond.
Right. Yeah. So the religion is very old. Originally, there was one language or a very similar group of languages. Then it all fell apart, and languages, you know, became many, many languages and many groups, and people couldn't talk to each other anymore. The Tower of Babel, you know, that's why that. I don't know if the allegory is real or. But just one universal language, and then it all broke up and went straight to water.
Yeah, I think it was more like a Stargate that they discovered. I think there's things in history that we're not being told, and that things are repeating themselves beyond our belief. Like they had technology that we have today and maybe beyond.
Yes, yes, I agree with that. Because Tesla and all that. Tesla didn't discover technology. He rediscovered it. And the springs and all,
yep.
These are pyramids. Things could be some kind of a power plant, maybe a weapon. Could be like one of the Death Stars in Star Wars. It seems to be a power plant, a massive, enormous power, probably a possible
right.
weapon. And, you know, and there's a book I'll send you later, 4464, right? I'll send you emails later on all this stuff. What happened to Mark? It must be down in tons of vinegar.
No, I'm here. I'm here listening.
Yep.
Well,
yeah.
couple things before we move on here. First of all, we're going to call it quits at exactly 11 o'clock. That's my self-imposed bedtime. After that, we start getting into really crazy talk, and we don't want to do that. We've been on here since 8:07, so we're now approaching just 2 hours and 5 minutes, which is nothing. We've done 25 hours before. And the second thing is, guest 22 just said that talk show is sucking bad. I understand if you use the web client to listen in and to do the texting, it does suck, and talk show even admits that it sucks. And I do recommend that you go to the download page at TalkShoe.com and download the TalkShoe Live Pro and then jump back on using that, and you'll find that is much more stable. And it even gives you the benefit of seeing all the conversations that were talked about from the very beginning. The
right.
one downside is you do have to be registered. You can't be a guest and,
right.
and take advantage of that.
What do you want for free? And then I'm going to go to the bathroom real quick so you guys talk.
Great. Naresh, who we were talking about, I don't know if you heard, who our first truth leaders were. Why don't you kind of give us your progression? Who was your first truth leader?
Oh, that's easy. It was Dylan Avery of Loose Change and Alex Jones. And I think left the top, they close, you know, close second.
It goes way before that because
right.
Now I don't know how long have you been in the United States because you're originally from India.
Yeah, I've been living here since I've been living here since 1970.
70?
In country, yeah.
Oh, so you've been here for a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
So I mean, do you remember Walter Cronkite? Do you remember?
Oh, those. Yeah, yeah, yeah. 10 p.m. Do you know where your children are? You know, New York City subways, all that. Yeah, Walter Cronkite, they're like little like demigods. You listen to them, you know. And then, he had us completely wrapped around his little finger. Yeah, yeah. He was like God.
Mm-hmm. And who else on TV or on the radio did you listen to who you thought was telling you the truth about stuff?
I think the nut band, Paul Harvey was one
yep.
of them, Paul Harvey, and then some of the baseball announcers, and I mean, it's okay. It's harmless times in those days. And then you had the guy, the shortstop, Phil Rizzuto, and the Yankees, broadcaster. There's a panoply of people. And then we had on the liberal front, maybe a bit of Noam Chomsky, cursive. And of course, Ralph Nader, I never changed my suit.
Right.
I mean, it's obvious. He's totally controlled the opposition. He was given to us. He's 100%, and he was controlled all the way. I don't believe that nonsense about he was good from the beginning. He was always one of them, and will always will be.
Now, you just did a lot of inside baseball. Let's kind of go slow
yeah.
on that.
Yeah.
You said Noam Chomsky. Noam Chomsky, I mean, that was like, he was like number one alternative guy for a lot of people, wasn't he? And what was his, like, claim to fame? Did he have something that a lot of people hung their hat on, or?
Not really. He just wrote a lot of vague liberal stuff, and then he started talking about conspiracy theories, and it's definitely conspiracy theory and this and that. I mean, I think the essay by Barry Zwicker is pretty brilliant. He dissects it pretty efficiently. The only thing is Barry Zwicker himself is vague. That was like, ah. But at that point, I was ready to accept it. Barry Zwicker outed Noam Chomsky brilliant. You have to get an essay. I don't know much about Noam. He was given to us, I think, after the RFK and Martin Luther King assassinations.
Okay, I was going to say, what was his claim to fame, that he kind of told the truth about what really happened with JFK or RFK?
No. He just started talking liberal, pseudo-liberal crap, and then he started talking other, rubbish. I mean, he was basically a soother. I call him a soother type, you know. I don't think he soothes you to sleep. The control of opposition different stripes. I think he's something... He's not an Alex Jones ranter. He's more like a soother to sleep. He's like a sulfuric, you know, it puts you, it's a tranquilizer.
I see. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like a, you know, and then he soothes you to sleep. And then, like, it was considered theory. What does it matter? And if it's true, who cares, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if they're proven, who cares, you know? I consider him basically a war criminal. And now his usefulness is at an end, so Barry Zucker came out at him. And it turns out Zucker himself is a shill.
Right.
Notice they got outed at the very end when the usefulness ever. When Zucker came on the scene, a lot of people questioning Noam Chomsky because the JFK assassination is the same nonsense, ignoring all kind of evidence and then all the stuff he was talking rubbish and then a lot of people questioning him. So I guess the usefulness, like our, you know, Alex Park of life came to an end and, you know, he got busted by, you know, other people, Aaron and others, you know. So when the usefulness comes to an end, they yank him out of there or made him like a book or whatever. Nader wrote a book and said, I'm a shill, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That was that. And I think they, usefulness comes to an end, they bring somebody else in to replace him. The guy outs him and he becomes a hero, and then the whole cycle turns on. Just like the global warming scam, which they try to get rid of the income tax, Alan Russo. It's a bit of inside baseball, but then the global warming itself is a tax, which is the new income tax, and then you get snookered into another round of, you know, fakery.
Right.
But I think it's just kind of backfired because there are too many people talking. And not going to climate control, climate change, or whatever.
Now, Guest 22 just mentioned the ultimate controlled opposition leader, and that is
Bill Cooper.
Bill Cooper.
Yes, yes. I fell for him completely for about, I think, almost about a year, so until LT, lots of cars, Simon straightened me out big time.
Mm-hmm.
He was very good.
Very good. And for those who think that Bill Cooper is the only real truther out there, let me slab on some truth about Bill Cooper. Let me get my notes out. The first thing that we talk about with Bill Cooper is the fact that he admits to being ex-naval intelligence.
Right.
Now, Naresh, if you had to explain in a sentence what naval intelligence is, what would you say?
It's the core of military intelligence. Bill Cooper said the cream of the crop. It's like the top gun of military intelligence.
Mm-hmm. And what is their job in a nutshell to do?
That means you're deep undercover. You're doing something up to nefarious. very deep undercover. And all the, according to LT, all the other intelligence, they all revolve under ONI. ONI is the top branch.
Oh, ONI, right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Of the Navy. Yep.
Now, here's a question.
I've heard about it. When LT mentioned ONI, that's when I realized he came up with the shell.
Mm-hmm.
I got a question for Naresh. And you too, Mark. Do you think he was really shot, or do you think they staged it?
No.
I think he was not shot.
No. I wasn't there. I don't know. But if I had to guess, I think it was an elaborate
hoax,
scaremongering to make it seem like he got assassinated and became a what is that when they a martyr.
Right.
Yeah, a martyr.
So and then he blamed it on Alex Jones, kind of. And then he blamed it on kind of Alex Jones, and they blamed it on, well, he was going to come out with all this 911 truth. And then the next thing you know, Alex Jones is taking over for him. But they made it look like Bill Cooper slammed Alex Jones.
Right.
Called him a fearmonger and every other name in the book.
Right.
Yes.
Next thing you know, he's dead.
But the funny thing is, if you go search YouTube, see, this is a better use of your time than watching TV. If you go search YouTube and search for 9/11 Bill Cooper, there's no bigger scaremonger on the planet than Bill Cooper. If Bill Cooper predicted 9/11, he would not have scared us like he did on 9/11. You just got to hear the broadcast. It's unbelievable. But here's the smoking gun for Guest 22, who wants to know about William Cooper. And I'm reading, shortly after the bombing of the Alfred P. Murrah building, federal building, Rush Limbaugh read a White House memo on the air during his broadcast in which he named William Cooper, quote, the most dangerous radio host in America. This may have been related to claims that Timothy McVeigh regularly listened to Cooper's radio program. Cooper considered President Bill Clinton's pronouncement the greatest compliment he's ever received. Why would Bill Clinton give Cooper street cred if he was real? That's kind of like saying that Naresh or Kevin or myself are the most dangerous talk show hosts in America.
Yeah. And Obama,
and we may very well be, though.
Obama calling us the most dangerous truth has all met.
He never will. He don't want us. He don't want nobody to know about what we're talking about.
Right.
And that, exactly. That was Bill on Bill, right? Bill on Bill. Bill Clinton on Bill Cooper.
Right. So let's get back to before you go back.
I just wanted to give you something you'll like because who was it? Hoover. Hoover said Eustace Mullins was the most dangerous man.
Edgar Hoover, I still watch TV,
but because it's on the right hand side, not in front of me.
No, Mullins is still good. I kind of believed in him, but then I kind of realized he cannot be for real. If there's any mention of him out in there and using his material, the bottom feeders like Griffin, Edward Griffin, then no, he can't be for real. But he gives tons of truth, which is good for those days.
Yeah, I think he does give tons of truth. And what about the guy before him, you know, Ezra Pound?
I don't know much about him. He was in the insane asylum, yeah.
This is a real, real old school now. You're getting way back into thinking, wow, there were truthers back then? have been truthers. Yeah, there have been truthers ever since the beginning of time.
Not that many, and probably tons of fake sauce out there. But the internet age, I think, is complicated, so who knows?
And by the way, I see that Simon has entered the chat, and he just put, the problem with Eustace is Jeff Rentz promotes him. And that is a problem because Jeff Rentz is not even a good controlled opposition. He's very obvious that he's controlled.
Yes.
But I want to stay on focus because I'm looking at the clock. That was a great tip about what you just said about Eustace. I'm looking at the clock. We have exactly 37 minutes left. And I want to talk about Ralph Nader because Ralph Nader, we could do an entire broadcast about him being controlled opposition. For a couple reasons, and we'll try to condense it here. Number one, it brings up the question, are people who are controlled opposition taken over, or are they controlled from the very beginning? And how in the world will the elites invest 30, 40, 50 years like Ralph Nader, like Ron Paul? Why would they invest that much time to make them into controlled opposition? For example, Ralph Nader, if anyone remembers, is the one who got us all wearing seatbelts here in America.
Yes.
So he seems like a great guy. He's there. He's concerned about us. Same thing with Ron Paul. Ron Paul is known as Dr. No.
Yes.
He's the only one for 30 years in Congress who would say no when everyone else would say yes. Well, how could he be controlled opposition? He goes against the grain. So that's how this works. These guys are very long-term thinkers. The people who rule over us are very long-term thinkers and have no problem inserting someone for 40 years ahead of time, knowing that they're ultimately going to burst out of their shell and spin us into la-la land. And Ralph Nader, in fact, let me get you the title of his book. Ralph Nader has a book. Are you ready for this? I know you guys know what it is, but those listening to this for the first time might not know it. It is called, let's see, my notes on Ralph Nader here. Okay, here we go.
Ralph Nader. In a rush.
It's called Benevolent Dictatorship, Only the Super Rich Can Save Us. So there you go. He's been our go-to guy for the truth about politics, and he puts seatbelts in our car, and he cares about us. And as Simon just reminded us, Ralph Nader's advisors is a Rockefeller.
Rockefeller, him.
And all of a sudden he comes out with a book that says only the super rich can save us. There's your la-la land. And then you'll find the same thing with Ron Paul. Ron Paul's going to get rid of the Fed. He's going to finally talk about 9/11 being an inside job.
Yeah. And if you know anything about politicians trying to get seriously getting rid of the Fed, they're all dead.
Hmm?
Yeah, so he's what do I call him? Howdy Doody. He looks like Howdy Doody, and he acts like they pull the strings on it. This guy's been in politics for, what, 30-some-odd years?
Mm-hmm.
And you pointed out that he looks a lot like George Bush. And when I looked at that,
God.
I thought, oh, my goodness, look at this.
Yeah. And what I'm referring to is if you watch the Morton Downey Jr. show from 25 years ago.
Right.
I was showing this to my wife. I said, take a look at this video. And it was of Ron Paul. My wife goes, wow, you have a video of George Bush? Because Ron Paul looked exactly like George Bush 25 years ago.
Right. So you know what? You just reminded me of something. Morton Downey Jr. was actually the first guy that I started listening to apart from the mainstream media.
Right.
Because he was, America Tonight or whatever that show was called.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I bet you there are people before that you'll eventually remember once we go off broadcast here. I mean, you have people like, did you listen to Bill O'Reilly?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still alive, and he's still doing it.
Right. Did you listen to Lou Dobbs? Did you listen to Keith Olbermann?
Yep.
Did you listen to
Bill
Moyers on PBS?
Yep. Bill Moyers, now I grew to hate him real quick
because
I see through him. He's easy to see through. He was like the first transparent dude that I saw, and I, oh man, what are you even talking about? Especially these days when he's talking about the 9-1 truthers, somebody was actually in his on his show and screamed out something about 9-1-1, and he cursed the dude out and threatened to kick his ass. That little scrawny piece of crap is going to kick nobody's ass, including my wife. My wife could beat him up. It's all stage, and I'm not so sure that the people that yell out aren't even. Staged. We need you to do this about 37 minutes into the show. We need you to yell out 911 so Bill Moyer can do his thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How about Geraldo Rivera?
Oh, Geraldo. Yeah, I used to watch him. As a matter of fact, he was probably the second guy after Morton Downey Jr. Mm-hmm. Or maybe the same time, same time frame.
How about Jacques Cousteau? That's just a different spin, because he was all about how the animals were more important than humans.
National Geographic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love that show.
Our truth leaders have been around much longer than we ever imagined.
Yeah, long before we were born.
So we've got Ralph Nader. Only the super rich can save us. Just amazing. And then we get into that next layer of truth leaders, which are more radical. So I know for me, the first person that I latched onto, and you probably don't even know his name, was from Chicago. Naresh, do you know who I'm talking about?
And, of course, he's been hung up because his phone.
Yeah, he's out of borders. Chicago. He was partners with Lenny Bloom. I'm going to look it up right now.
Oh, man.
Lenny Bloom. Chicago. Oh, Cloak and Dagger.
That sounds familiar.
Sherman Skolnick. That was the first one for me.
Never heard of him.
Yep. Well, I'm going to give you his website. You'll be at this for weeks. He talked about the who was really involved in the OJ murders, all that kind of stuff. Here it is.
Oh. Now, see, I don't remember the name. But I remember that, from looking into it.
As Guest 25 said, Sherman was the grandfather of all this.
Really?
Yep. Yep. So then Sherman led me to Lenny Bloom. Lenny Bloom is not his real name. His father owns the Toronto Star, which is one of the biggest media outlets in Ontario, I believe it is.
Probably Bloomberg, right?
No. Lenny Bloom's real name. I'll tell you what Lenny Bloom's real name is. Lenny Bloom's real name. By the way, if you're ever trying to figure out what people's real name is, you just type in their name in Google, and you put AKA. So I put Lenny Bloom, AKA, yes, Martin Thal, son of Nelson Thal, who owns the Toronto Star. So Lenny Bloom is a made-up name. I'm sorry, his name is Nelson Thal, a made-up name whose father owns one of the biggest media giants in Canada. So
really?
As we've determined, from controlled opposition, if you're in the media or you're in the cultural creation business, very unlikely that you're a real person. So then we had Tom Hennigan. Then we had there's a guy who was in my same hometown as me, Newtown Square, Pennsylvania. Tom, help me out, LT. The one who said, the person was found alive in Italy, Ted Olson's wife was found alive in Italy. His name was Tom. I bet you I can find that out, too, just doing a Google search.
I have no clue.
Let's see. Tom, Ted Olson, wife alive.
Gunderson.
Sorry?
G25 said Gunderson.
No. I'll find it. Maybe I can't find it. I know Simon knows who it is. His P.O. box is in Newtown Square, Pennsylvania. He was occasionally hooked in with Tom Hennessy. Flacco, thank you. Tom Flacco, that's it. Yep.
Okay, why doesn't the Lord just call in? And who is 25?
Well, the Lord is now 17 years old, and his parents don't like him calling in.
Ah.
Which is a shame, because if he was my son, I would buy him 100 hours worth of phone cards and let him call in any time. But I'm not his parent, so I can't do anything about it.
Bummer.
So anyway, my point is, as you can see, I'm naming name after name after name who I would go to. I'd flock to them because they would say stuff that's like, oh, my God, golden nuggets of information. And then they spin you off into la-la land. I went through David Ray Griffin, like Naresh, through the Loose Change, watched Loose Change, thought that was the truth. Alex Jones for about 3 months.
Yeah, so
I basically hung around the old Lenny Bloom, Tom Flacco, Tom Hennessy, and another guy, I forget his name. And just I ate it up. It was like gossip. It was like truth gossip.
Yeah, and the rest just said AJ was the worst. And yeah, that's a guy See, I missed out on, and I probably was listening to Coast to Coast at the time when AJ was giving all that Y2K death information about the Russians are shooting missiles and were under attack and all kinds of other crap that he was saying. Man, I missed it. And somehow I never heard about it. And so I continued to listen to AJ. And also I never heard of Bill Cooper back then.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would have probably thought, you know, wait a minute, this guy's telling me that, and then I would have went and looked at what he was saying about Y2K, and I would have figured out, then I probably would have started following Bill Cooper, you know, and then, you know, from one guy to the next guy to the next guy, like if you ever saw, what's her name there, Give the Power to Britney, Madonna on stage. Coming down from the Tower of Babel cake, you know, dressed in black, and coming down to the Britney Spears thing with the white gown and the virgin and doing that whole thing. And I thought, oh, man. And, you know, it's funny. Freeman did a thing on that.
I never got into Freeman because he admitted that his family were Freemasons.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much. I'll pass.
And so did John Todd.
I don't know who that is.
Wow. Now, see, it's weird how you go off on they do this. They have different, I guess, legs, so to make sure they cover, like, because I was Christian, and he went from being controlled by the Rothschilds and controlling the music industry to saying, okay, that's enough. I'm going to go and I'm going to blow whistles. And then, of course, he was kidnapped, and then he, you know, it was came back out that he was a child molester and all this other stuff. And so he went back to that, and he did this. And then the next thing you know, he's either dead or in jail. And so you're trying to find out what happened to John Todd when he's releasing all this information that's just incredible. And then you find out most of it's, you know, basically horseshit. And so they spin you, and that's what they do. They cover all the legs. So, like, if you're not a Christian or if you're not a Jew or if you're not this, but they got another leg for you. You know, if you're atheist, they got one for that one, too. You know, it depends on what you believe. That's the kind of person you're going to go to listen to.
Hmm. Guess 25% so like said that a lot of people got misled by Dave and Joyce Riley of the, I'm assuming, of the Power Hour, I think it was.
Of the Power Hour, yeah.
I'm almost embarrassed to say these names because it's like, do people really listen to this stuff and get fooled by it?
Oh, yeah.
But they do.
Oh, yeah. 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 They wouldn't be making so much money if they didn't, you know. And once you stop making money and once you go out of, like, the spotlight or whatever, then they replace you. And they do it in a really cool way, like whether they make you a martyr and they fake your death or whatever they do. It's insane. And, you know, people listen to this show, they're going to say, man, these guys are whack. They are out of their mind nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And so just let me go back and look at Fox News and find the real truth. That's, you know,
right.
That's what you have. And I also saw a video today. Because, see, I've been investigating the truth of girls as much as possible. Find out.
Still haven't gotten
that
email, have you?
Nope.
Of course.
And as a matter of fact, I got an email, and I thought, oh, there might it be. But you know who emailed me? Scott.
Who's Scott?
And that Scott is the guy I've had on for the past 2 weeks. He was talking about this post-glacial rebound theory. been looking into this stuff, and I'm thinking, man, you know what? Nobody else is saying this.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you got to start thinking about, well, where did all that radiation go? And last show I had, somebody asked me how many nuclear power plants are in Pennsylvania. And I thought there were two. I named Three Mile Island and Limerick.
No, there's one right here.
Well, yeah, okay. And then he was saying Peach Bottom, and I said, and I went off because when I was 19 years old, I was in electrical school, and we went to Peach Bottom Nuclear Power Plant.
Mm-hmm.
And as a matter of fact, we were somehow able to pull up in between the nuclear reactors. And so when we went in there, you know, I had long hair. I was 19 years old. The first question I had was, how were we able to pull up a bunch of cars in between your nuclear power plants? What if we were some kind of terrorist and we wanted to blow that up?
Mm-hmm.
And he had no answer. Mm-hmm. And so I thought this was in Maryland because we went and got Maryland crabs that day. I didn't realize we crossed the border to get them. So that's actually in and may be why they call it Peach Bottom, because it's the bottom of Pennsylvania. But now I find out there's another one in Susquehanna, and there's yet another one. There's five of them here in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
Well,
oh,
speaking,
man.
I'm going to go a little off topic, then we'll go right back to controlled opposition. There's a guy in Russia that gives tours of Chernobyl.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Now, you just said really because you reacted how you should have. Because we were told that the half-life of a nuclear explosion is, what, millions or billions of years? And
right.
then it was – what's that, Kevin?
Yeah, right, exactly.
And
wormwood.
Right. And that Chernobyl, as Guest 22 says, is safe now. That's impossible. If
no,
it's millions
not.
Of
Absolutely.
Billions –
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's not. Absolutely no way in hell. This is the one of the first things we were taught is the half-life and the life. And even if it was 1,000 years, we haven't gone by 1,000 years, have we? That's what I said last time on the show, on my show last week. It is absolutely incredible that people have dismissed the fallout. And not only do they give tours, and I didn't know they gave tours at Chernobyl, but they also give them in New Mexico. And you have to sign up, and there's like a 2 or 3 year waiting list. And you have to go through all kinds of background checks, and they take you through all the craters, and they show you all the craters that they caused.
Well, real quick, let me tell you why I'm starting to think now that there was no explosion at Chernobyl. That was just scaremongering. So let me get my notes on that. And then I want to get right back because we're running out of time here. Nuclear, here we go. The guy had a – let me see if I can post it into the chat here. Here we go. A tour of Chernobyl as it exists today, right? Take a look at this. And the guy shows the – what do they call it? The Geiger counter.
Right.
And the most he was able to get a reading of – it's in R's. I forget what R stands for.
Rentables.
What is it?
Rens.
Okay. The most he was able to get on the Geiger counter was 2. A lethal dose of – that it takes 5 hours of straight radiation is 500. You would get sick if you had 200 over 5 hours. By the way, a cockroach needs 1,000 times the radiation than humans to suffer the same effect. A chicken needs 2.5 times, which is interesting. So – on the tour, the highest they were able to get the Geiger counter was on a 2. That's impossible.
Well, I'm seeing 49. Or is that 0.049?
Yeah, 0.49.
0.049.
There you go. How can that be?
Maybe the Geiger counter's fixed because there's a lot of crazy babies being born over there.
That
and they're not doing anything.
About. That we're
yeah,
told
well,
about.
I have a 10 there, you know. And then, of course, there's a theory there's no such thing as nuclear or atomic explosions. It's all massive amounts of TNT.
Mm-hmm.
0.139.
So anyway, I just wanted you reminded me that, and I wanted people to go home tonight and think about everything, be a critical thinker about everything. They tell us that there are nuclear explosions that are going to wipe us off the face of the earth. When you look into it, not true. They tell us that these reactors are ridiculously dangerous. How can it be 23 years later that the Geiger counter can't get over 2?
That's a very interesting symbol they have on the wall there, isn't it?
I'm not there, so I don't know.
Well, there's an eye, some type of face, some type of very strange symbol. Never seen that kind of thing. Then you have the bell. And, yeah, well, you have 0.481. I mean, how does that work? Why did they shut it down, and why did they bury it in concrete? I mean, are they trying to downplay this, that's not a big deal, or is it not a big deal? I mean, you're seeing all kinds of grass and trees. But I believe things can live through radiation, just not very well.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Chernobyl means wormwood.
Right.
Of course, that's biblical. And so
right.
whether they set that up as a whole, you know, scam, that's a good point.
Just something to think about. Just something
yeah.
to think about. Anyway, we have 14 minutes left. I wanted to end the broadcast talking about the ultimate final gatekeeper. And I wanted to see what the remaining people on the chat, how many people know about this person and what you think about this person. And, of course, I'm referring to the great Alan Watts. So those on the chat, if you can give me your thoughts on Alan Watt, whether you like him, you know he's controlled opposition, but you still like him. He's controlled opposition, so you hate him no matter what he says. What do you guys think? And, Kevin, do you know who Alan Watt is?
I know who he is. I listened to him so briefly that I couldn't tell you what I think, except for some strange reason, what I tuned into was him saying, all paths lead to God, and I shut it off.
He said that?
And
that doesn't sound like him.
Yep. Yep. Not maybe those exact words, but that that's what I got from what he said. There is no – it's the same when you talk to Heron Stone. Heron Stone is a huge follower of Alan Watts. And
he's a huge follower of Alan Watts with an S. There is a different Alan Watt with no S.
Oh, that's right. No. I've never even heard of I have heard of him. And because you said that, I realized, yeah. Nope, never even listened to him.
Well, here is his website address. It is called cuttingthroughthematrix.com. I do recommend.
Okay, so I've misunderstood you this whole time when you said he's completely controlled opposition. I thought you were talking about Watts.
Well, it is interesting because Alan Watt does look slightly like Alan Watts. And apparently Alan Watts has been dead for quite some time. Alan Watts is a philosopher. Alan
right.
Watt is a critical thinker, so that's not too far off the path. And they both use very controlling voices to get people, guess 24 saying, I'm assuming it's Aaron saying Alan Watts allegedly died from alcoholism. But anyway, getting back to Alan Watt is way different than any other truth leader combined.
Isn't he a Christian?
No, Alan doesn't believe in anything.
Now we're talking about the same guy.
Maybe.
One of them is a Christian, and one of them is doesn't believe in anything, and that's how Heron Stone believes. He doesn't believe in anything, and yeah, that's.
And neither do I. Mm-hmm.
That's the same thing. That's the same guy.
Now, Alan Watt, there's no doubt in my mind that 60 to 70% of what Alan Watt says is complete and utter BS, scaremongering. He is the predictive programming of predictive programming. But if it wasn't for Alan Watt, I would be 5 to 7 years behind on what I know now, no doubt about it. Alan Watt basically helped deprogram myself so I could figure out who is controlled opposition. Alan Watt makes it easy for us to know that he's controlled opposition. After all, he said in many Jackie Petru audios that he hates with venom Alex Jones, yet he's now on Alex Jones' show. You'll notice it's always the 6th day or the 7th day of the month, which is interesting.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know he's at the top of your list for controlled op when I was looking at that list.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see the Truth of Girls on there, though, but I did see Jack Blood, I think.
Well, that's the thing, and I just updated my control opposition list today. Not any names, but the fact that I realized that while doing the list, every single person on the list and those to come can't possibly be real truthers because they're well-known, and well-known people would not be able to say what real people talk about. So I no longer update the list. It's definitely incomplete. And that's why I did this video, this audio, and that's why I wrote a statement saying, you know, basically I'm not updating the list anymore because it's redundant.
Yeah. Now, have you noticed that in the chat, the main advertisement lately is Ann Coulter?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my. Do these people ever age? Because I thought I remember her from way back. And she hasn't changed. She still looks the same. She still talks the same. I mean, are these people, is David Icke like throwing us a little bit of truth that these people really may not be human? Is that possible?
I'm just stunned that you're calling Ann Coulter a she. I don't understand why you're saying that.
And
as guest 22 just said. Ann Coulter's not a... Ann Coulter is a dude.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Coulter is a beautiful woman, according to guest 25.
Mm-hmm.
She might be a man. Oh, man.
Do women have Adam's apple?
Are you telling me this is a trans...
Transgender.
Oh, my.
One of my biggest clients from 10 years ago was transgender.
Well, there you go with my read between the lines, huh? Man Coulter. Man. Are you serious?
Guest 22 says a woman can have a natural Adam's apple like a man. I didn't know that. I didn't think that was possible.
No, it's not possible. As far as I know. Of course, amongst many videos that I've been looking at through the Truther Girls, they're talking about...
she looks like a dude, by the way. I didn't want to bring that up, but as long as we're talking about it.
You're talking about Sonia? Yeah, she doesn't have an apple.
With the woman
with
the glasses?
She doesn't have an apple. Yeah, Sonia. She doesn't have an Adam's apple, though.
Mm-hmm.
That I saw. And she does have what looks like real boobs.
Mm-hmm. We just collectively turned off everyone.
Yeah, you just threw me so far off that I forgot what I was going to say.
Mm-hmm.
What was she... Oh, man. Oh, she was talking about what's in our foods these days and the thing that's going on with these man boobs.
Mm-hmm.
And they're calling them moobs, M-O-O-B-S.
Yep.
And it's not because you're fat, because people are getting so much of the wrong hormone that literally women are growing testicles in their vagina area and things like that. And men are actually, they're not just fat. It's really actual boobs. And I was going, oh, my God. You know, what? And this is all today. I must have watched, I don't know, 25 of their videos, and they have 239.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so this is how they went from YouTube to American Freedom Radio.
Right.
Because they were watched. They were checked out. And like I said, Alex Jones, Jack Black, or Jack Blood,
right.
I keep calling him Jack Black for some reason. And, yeah, they go in and they have their goonies or their hired hands or whatever, and they watch and they look at everything and they see who they can use. Because, you know, Jack Blood did an interview with her, and the next thing, you know, she's getting a call. Hey, you want your own radio show?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I played the clip earlier. You heard it. And you made fun of it, and your little way that you did there. As a matter of fact, by the way, I forgot to tell you, I clipped one of my nails. Yeah, that whole thing. And dude called me up, and man, and
guest 22 just said the key feature is the ring finger. Man's is longer than the middle finger. Well, if that's true, I've heard something like that, but I disagree because I'm looking
I'm
at my
woman.
Hands, and I'm a woman.
Yeah,
too.
Me too. Yeah, your middle finger's longer, man. I'm sorry. Some guys are like that.
Maybe what guest 25 or 4 is saying is that on a woman that their ring finger is longer than the middle finger. So we'll need some clarification on that. So we can all sleep better tonight.
Longer than the pointer finger. Oh, okay. Well, I'm a man then.
Yes, mine is longer than the pointer finger. Yep. Well, we'll have to go.
I mean, but yeah, but seriously, is that a fact?
Well, I mean, I've got the same thing. My ring finger, which I refuse to wear a ring, is longer than my pointer finger on both sides.
Yeah, so is mine.
Mm-hmm. So if you were to go up to Ann Coulter and see the opposite, that would be certainly interesting, wouldn't it?
Well, no, she would need to, yeah, she would need to have her ring finger being longer. That would be
right.
If she was a man.
That's what I'm saying. If she had the same thing
yeah.
we had,
right,
that would be interesting.
Well, I'll have to pay closer attention. Because,
you should. Because I know you're thinking about her, and you shouldn't be thinking about her because it's a him. Dude looks like a lady. There's a reason that song's the way it is. Dude looks like a lady.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. I actually never thought about Ann Coulter as somebody I'd want to be sleeping with because she's just weird.
Mm-hmm.
But now maybe I know why she's weird.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Anyhow, on that brilliant note, it's 10:57, Monday, March 29th, 2010. We're going to wrap this baby up, as the good Masons like to say. For a replay of this broadcast, all you have to do is go to truthin7minutes.com. That's the number 7, truthin7minutes.com. And if you go to the Amazing tab there's an Amazing tab, and then click on Controlled Opposition, I'm going to place this audio there. So if you have people who are on the fence about people and they want to hear a little bit about how Controlled Opposition works, you're in luck. Here is the audio for you. Also at truthin7minutes.com is a place to put your email address. No, I do not sell the email address. Don't rent it. Don't give it away. You put that in there if you want to be alerted to the new stuff that's going on, new audios, et cetera. I will let you know about that. Just put your email address in there, and off it goes. We also have a chat that is absolutely infiltrated by Controlled Opposition. I would say for every one real person at the chat, and I'm not kidding, there are at least 100 fake people who show up there. They're going to post pornographic images, very disgusting images. It was an experiment that I'm thinking about ending simply because it's turning off a lot of people to finding out about truthin7minutes.com. However, what I do find is if you ignore them and you talk to other real people, they kind of go away. So if you want to talk to real people, there's an opportunity to do so. We also have these chats on Talk Show. And I do them typically on a Monday night or a Saturday night. I would do it any other night, but I've got work to do. Got to get the money coming in. That's how I'm able to make it so you don't have to send me donations. You don't have to buy stuff that I will scare you into buying. So there you go. You've got the also the audio archives. There's a tab at the top of truthin7minutes.com. Click on that. We'll give you the audio archives to the probably 200-plus hours of chats that we're having, just like tonight, that you can download, listen to, pass around, et cetera, et cetera. With that said, I was joined tonight by Naresh, and I appreciate Naresh being here. Also joined by Kevin. Kevin, why don't you give the name of your broadcast out so someone can find out how to listen to you.
Yep, I posted them in the chat, and I'm also going to be posting this on my page, and I also am building a website. Just started it a couple days ago. That's in there too. And, yep, anything that's good, I usually ask you before I post it, but not always, because I don't really think that you should have a problem with me putting it on my page.
You can do whatever you want. I don't care.
And it's never edited, and it's always right there in full content, just like all 6 legs of your 24-hour talk-a-thon.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually 7 legs because that was probably because of me, because I could not download that 6-1.
Nope, it wasn't you. Aaron had the same problem. So, it was definitely too long. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And so that's all on there, and everything that is good goes on my page.
Sweet. Well, with that said, it's way past my bedtime now. It's 11 o'clock Monday, March 29, 2010. Have a great night, everyone, and I appreciate you being here. Take care.